Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
This was off of BuzzFeed. They have some guests on there, and there was a forum where they had asked people to share the most obvious lies that they have ever been told. And by obvious, I mean just you clearly
right
know the person is blatantly lying to.
Right.
And yet they won't back down from it. So there are some examples, and think about your own if you would, please. There are several examples in here. One says, an ex-partner told me, "That's not a hickey. I bruised my neck helping my sister move today."
Oh, my God.
So he made out with his sister.
Ew.
So he clearly knew that was not one. I love this one. This says, "My coworker once tried to convince me that centaurs actually exist." She says, and with a straight face, that they live in a gated community in Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
And they did all the horse stunts for movies.
Okay, so, all right, you want one for me quickly?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a family member who swore, and still would probably swear to you, that the Titanic sunk in the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
Because that's where the icebergs are.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, A, no. B, no.
But were they lying, or did they just really think that was the case?
Yeah, right?
You know?
That's a good point.
They might have been.
But I think...
But like as an example, Nick's buddy who told them that
underwater city.
There's an underwater city.
Can't eat hot dogs because they'll kill you.
Your stomach will explode because they expand when you eat them.
He believed it.
I don't think he believed it. I think he was just flat out lying to him.
Or do you think he got caught and floated it out there?
Yeah.
And then he had to back it up.
You have to go with it.
Like, and we've all done that, Casey. When you threw out that Springfield, there's a Springfield in every.
That's something that I actually truly believed. I wasn't lying.
Right,
that
was just something, thought.
Yeah.
It seemed logical. It's a common name.
Well, I probably heard it somewhere. It was also, like, on the air, I had said that deers don't have sphincters. I wasn't lying. My buddy told me that, and I believed him.
Yeah.
And
so
he
it's a different thing where someone is in a calculated way lying to you, like lying to cover over a hickey. I get it now. Okay.
Here's another one. Here's a text. And by the way, you can call 215-263-WMMR. This says, "I caught my ex in bed with another man. And she tried to tell me I was hallucinating."
No.
Wow.
So that is, and I've brought this up many times, if you ever get a chance to see the movie, A Guide for the Married Man, a woman comes home, catches her husband in bed with another woman. The husband matter-of-factly gets up out of bed, Preston, gets over, puts on his robe. The woman gets up, and the wife is like, like looking at him, and the woman gets dressed and leaves, and the guy goes over, sits down with the pipe and the paper, goes, "What was that? What are you talking about?"
Just completely, absolutely denying it.
And then she goes like, "Is it me?" Yeah, so the complete, and the rule is deny, deny, deny.
I don't understand the reasoning behind that. When the evidence has clearly been presented to you that, like, I know that whatever you're telling me is not the truth, and then they stick to it.
I've been reading a series of books about what they call truth and fiction are, the line is more blurred now than ever, and selling the narrative. So
But to me, it's like, dude, like
you can find online something to support, but on a visceral lie like a hickey, which you clearly know is a hickey,
right?
And you didn't get it because an end table hit you in the throat.
But when you're lying and you're caught lying, and then you continue to lie, like, I would much rather you say, "Okay, I was lying, and you caught me, and I'm sorry."
When was the last time you heard someone do that?
It doesn't happen a lot. Thinking it was me.
I know a girl whose mom told her that there were bugs in candy machines.
Oh, yeah.
And that she shouldn't eat them, and they were bad for you.
I remember was my wife. You talk about the laptop situation where you're caught.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was caught. Yeah. You know, and I was
Here's a text that says, my buddy told me he rode quads with Mike Tyson.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be a great day.
I love lies like that.
Let's go look at the pigeons.
One that I remember a guy telling me, I didn't even know him. It was at a bar that I used to go and do appearances at. This is back in St. Louis. And this guy swears to me that at the Waco Branch Davidians attack or, you know, raid.
Yeah, right.
That, you remember the video footage of the guy on the roof and they're shooting through the walls and you see the guns being fired?
The ATF agent,
he said that was him. He's sitting there telling me that. Yeah, that was me on the roof right there, man. It was scary as hell.
God, I'll never forget it. Uh-huh. I'll never remember it, but I'll never forget it, too.
Flat out lying. Flat out lying. And he was, I don't know why he was throwing that at me, I guess to back up whatever lie he was going to tell the ladies that he was going to run into that evening.
The Zapruder film? That was me sitting in front of Kennedy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
was it Governor Connolly?
I'm going to go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, so we're talking about the most obvious lie someone has told you.
Yes. So we were in Bethany Beach, Delaware, and if you've ever been there at the beginning, like the front of the town, there's this big totem pole of like an Indian head on it. And a friend of ours was acting as if he was like a tour guide for the town that we have all been to before. And he was saying how that totem pole is Delaware's totem pole, and every state has one, and it's such an honor that Bethany Beach has
the one Delaware. For Delaware.
Okay. Oh, my God.
All right. Yeah. We have the official state totem pole. Okay.
It was just like a gift from a local, like an artist or something. I don't remember the whole story, but it was one of those things.
Do you think somebody told him that, or he made it up?
I think he made it up.
Okay.
He made up a lot of stories. He tried to convince us once that donuts were invented to dip in coffee and insisted that he was not getting it confused with biscotti.
there are gray areas, I think, where people make assumptions or just, well, it has to be.
Right.
And then they run with that story as if it's factual.
Mm-hmm.
So while it may not be an insidious lie, it's...
I told you guys I was playing a game one time. It was a car game. I was in with my band members, and we were, you know, driving for hours or whatever, and you just do something to kill the time. So we're playing this word game where, you know, you say the name of a state or a country, and whatever letter that ends with, you have to start the next one with it. And it came to me, and I said euthanasia. I played you guys.
You
right?
did. Yeah. Euthanasia, you thought it was a country.
I thought it was a country. And then when I got called out on it, and even I started to question myself, I backed it up with, no, yes, it is, man.
Oh,
I
man.
Swear, I've seen it on a map. I mean, just flat out lying. Flat out lying. You know?
Well, okay, let me ask you.
I'm a smarter man now to know when to say, okay, I may have been mistaken on that one. Right. I didn't want to seem stupid.
Yeah.
And I was stupid.
There are times, though, where it's okay to stand your ground if you believe.
Yeah.
But then when you're proven categorically wrong.
I wasn't sure that I believed.
Yeah.
I believed, but I wasn't backing down, man.
Right.
But about...
It's like, God damn it, it has Asia in it.
Yes!
Asia's a place.
The continent.
It's just the younger Asians live there.
Mm-hmm.
Youth in Asia.
Asia.
What about a lie? And I'm going back to Nick's friend who had ate hot dogs in the underground city or
underwater city.
Underwater city. What if the lie is stemming from somebody who maybe has a screw loose?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
If Charles Manson is prattling on about an underwater, okay.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Oh, this is great. Let me go to Kenny. Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Yeah.
All right, Kenny, share this story. I love this.
All right, so back in high school, I got caught smoking some pot. Well, not smoking some pot, but I was partaking, and I opened my windows up in my house when my parents weren't home.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I forgot to close them, and it was summertime. Air conditioning was on, middle of the summer, and my parents came home. My dad goes, what the F? And he was like, why are all these windows open? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't do it. I think someone came in and opened the windows up. And I just never told him. I just stuck to it. I didn't do it. I have no idea who opened the windows. I kept with it. And
So they believe like an intruder got into the house.
You would much rather your parents think that you had an intruder in the house.
Well, I go back to your story when you told. So Preston.
Thanks, Kenny.
You've had a couple where you flat out lied to your dad. And,
I wrecked a truck and I told him that a dog ran out in front of the car.
I forget exactly the lie I told when I knocked a movie light over on the carpet and burned a perfect circle into the carpet, how that occurred naturally.
Or when I spray painted my name on my neighbor's garage and I was like, no, it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Your name.
Like, I would spray paint my own name.
Is that sort of stupid? Wouldn't that point directly to me?
All right, let me go to Barry. Hi, Barry. Good morning.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
What's up, Barry?
All right, so my grandpa is an immigrant from Cuba.
Uh-huh.
And growing up, like, we always knew he was from Cuba. And he would always tell me, my brothers, and all my cousins, when I was 7 years old, I left Cuba, me and my brother swam. And when I was like, oh, okay, like, yeah, that's wild. Like, I know Cuba's an island off Florida, whatever. Then I grow to get older. He told us every single time. He would always tell us that. I grew to get older, and I realized 90 miles is pretty big.
So did he by any chance mean that he was on, like, a flotation thing? He'd put together boxes, or they send him off on a something. Does he contend that he marathon swam that distance at 7 years old?
I don't know, man. Kids have boundless energy, Steve.
I swear, him and his brother, and he said in an inner tube, swam across 90 miles to America. Then I find out he took an airplane.
Wait, how did you find that out? Yes. Who told you?
Oh, so I want to say it was like a Guinness Book of World Record or something like that, like someone continuous swim. It was something on TV on those lines. And I called him out, and he's like, nope, no. No, we swam.
No, because there were countless stories of people who did flee Cuba on flotation devices.
Right.
But
how did the airplane come up?
Oh, I beat it out pretty much.
You just eventually just kept pushing him on it. That's great, Barry.
I'm just thinking of a 7-year-old free swimming in some of the most dangerous water in the world.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let me see. I'll go to, this is someone who's given you the most obvious lie. Clearly you knew they were lying. I'm going to go to Jackie. Hi, Jackie. Good morning.
Good morning, It. How are you?
Good morning, It. Jackie, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Good morning. Good to see you and Rochelle in the grocery store, by the way.
Oh, hey, I know who this is. Hey, all right, Jackie. What's your story?
I have two stories. My first quick story is that my grandmother, who was born in Italy, used to grate by hand the Italian grated cheese, Locatelli cheese. Mm-hmm. And the story was that if you sliced it off and ate the piece of cheese, you would get worms.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you were told
to keep you from eating it.
Yeah.
Because you weren't supposed to eat it because she was saving it to grate it. But my story that I called in for was my brother-in-law had a girlfriend, and she said that she didn't think she'd be able to make it to the holiday dinner. I think it was Thanksgiving, because she was possibly maybe or maybe not having a mastectomy on a holiday.
Okay. She was having a mastectomy, possibly, like, it's one of those walk-in mastectomies?
Right.
Yeah. So I am a horrible person because I truly didn't believe that she ever had breast cancer, and I think that she faked everything.
Oh, wow. Well, there have been people who've done that.
Yeah.
You know for a fact, Jackie, there have been people who've done, faked all sorts of cancers and things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, including that she said that the cancer treatment, that her fingernails were going to fall off, so they ordered dry ice from a company to soak her fingers in dry ice.
Oh my goodness. All right.
The lies were definitely lots of them.
On the mastectomy, how did that resolve? She was on a holiday. Mm-hmm. They were going to just get her in, like, hey, listen, if we can squeeze you in. Listen, our 4 o'clock canceled.
Yeah, and that was I had to bite my tongue because if you work in healthcare, it's an insult to your intelligence that someone's going to tell you that they may or may not have a serious surgery on a holiday. Right. Doesn't happen that way. So she later...
Guys, I might have to bounce. I'm getting a heart transplant.
Yeah.
Right. I may or may not need someone to donate me a liver.
Right. All right. Thank you, Jackie. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Why would you tell someone who's also in the medical profession that?
Yeah. Some people, man. Effing people.
Effing people.
I'm going to go to Alex. Hi, Alex. Good morning to you.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Alex?
So, I have a grandfather who lives in Rock Hall in Maryland, and his backyard is right on the Chesapeake. So there are two harbors on the opposite side of the bay. One's a little bit further in, and one's a little bit closer. The one further in, he had me convinced from the time I was 10 till I was like 12 that was Boston, and the other harbor was Prince Edward's Island in Canada.
Oh, my God.
I figured out, like, wait, hey, we're in the south, and Canada and Boston are in the north. I was like, and then my dad just laughed at me. I'm like, that's mean.
Yeah,
no, right. They were just pranking you.
They were playing with you. Yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
I was 10 years old. I had no idea.
Oh, that's funny. All right, yeah, thanks, Alex.
It was like the fire alarm in Swarthmore. It went, and my neighbor told me that it was alligators.
Alligators, yeah.
And I had believed that for a couple of years. I'm like, oh, my God, there's our alligators.
You mentioned this a few times. Yeah. What led Nick to believe that when birds would...
When they tilt their head to their side.
That they're listening for worms?
It's kind of a... It's a myth.
Yeah.
So, but they're actually...
I'm listening for worms.
They're actually looking when they turn that way.
Wait. Yeah, I hear some.
Some people say they're listening for worms. All right, let me go to this anonymous caller. Hi, anonymous caller. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, so my mom took a page from Kathy's mom's book of scaring the living hell out of us when we were growing up.
Okay.
To keep us from doing things. And she told me two lies. And one I was able to to kind of understand when I was young and reasonably discredit. The first one was... If you sit on a public toilet, you get AIDS.
Seems feasible.
Everyone has AIDS. AIDS.
I can see the comment that you were going to make, and I was actually going to ask you if this was my brother, because my mom pretty much told me the same thing. And listen, I know you want to remain anonymous, but... I don't think you should have to. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. I'll call my mom out on it. Because she would say, well, you know, they just don't know.
They just don't know.
And still, to this day, like, if I were to ask her specific things, she sticks with it. Like, she's like, well, I don't know. I just don't trust it. You don't trust that you can't get AIDS from sitting on a toilet?
I don't know when I realized that was a lie, but I would imagine the first time I did sit on the public toilet, I must have been scared.
That's probably why I still don't sit on public toilets.
Kathy hovers,
We should go out for drinks.
All right,
and
thanks.
And the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the second one, I didn't realize until my friends called me out in college, that any two bloods that mix together, you automatically get AIDS.
So there was a big AIDS thing driving your
was a huge AIDS thing. I don't know
what happened. My mom didn't go with that one.
Yeah, your blood mixed. That the ice cream man, when he came by, he had AIDS. Wow.
Don't leave your room, you get AIDS.
Wow.
Yeah, she tried to scare you. That's what my mom did.
Yeah, that's...
But stuff like that...
It was their way of trying to protect you, I guess.
Nice job. Good job, Mom.
Yeah, right?
Let me see. I don't want them asking for licorice. Licorice gives you AIDS.
It was the bugs in the candy at the store. She didn't want us to have candy.
Licorice gives you AIDS. I have Adam. We're talking about the most obvious lies you've been told. Adam, hi. You're on the air. Good morning.
I want to eat, goddammit.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
When I was in seventh or eighth grade, I tried to be that bully on the school bus that said, no, you younger kids can't sit in the back of the bus. And the kid that I tried to bully, you know, he realized I was a moron. So at some point we start talking and he says, you know what? You can make plutonium in the microwave. I said, really? He said, yeah. You take a spoon and you get some petroleum jelly.
Oh, my God.
You wrap it in copper wire.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. And of course, I had to tell my friend. I was like, man, you know you can make plutonium in your microwave? He was like, you an idiot.
Oh, my God.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
What?
Did you do it?
I did not try it. No, thank God Adam, I did not try it.
I think my favorite part of the story is that you admitted that you were a moron, yeah. The bully moron, but that's hilarious, dude.
Yeah, so the kid picked up on it right away. He's like, this kid is dumb. I'm going to mess with him.
Petroleum Thanks, and man. Copper wire in a microwave.
And a metal spoon.
And a metal spoon.
Yeah. I'd say that might be.
And that's plutonium.
Recipe for disaster. Here is a text that says, dated a guy who went to Council Rock High School and told me Queen wrote, "We Will Rock You" about his high school.
Oh, my God.
Council Rock.
Yes. This was Council Rock.
Yeah. Let me see here. I will go to Bill. Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
What's morning, Ed, bud?
All right, so I actually have two stories that are both kind of work-related. One of them was I was working at a university, and I was getting let go. And, so I got called down to my boss's office, and, she's like, yeah, so we're going to let you go, blah, blah, blah. And I just stared. I was like, yeah, I know. You already posted my job on the job site. And they're like, oh. And she just stared at me like a deer in headlights. She's like, well, that's not for your job. And I was like, I wrote the description.
That's got to kind of suck, I guess. But.
I was like, well, see ya. Right. But the other one is, so I drive for a rideshare company. And one night, I was dropping off an elderly lady, and she asked if I could stop off at her brother's house to drop off a plate of food. And, you can't really say no to, it's an older lady.
Yeah.
I was like, sure. Well, we get to a very sketchy area, and there's cops in front of the complex. And she's like, oh, no. Don't park in front. Pull up the block. And I was like, oh. I was like, this ain't right.
Right.
Yeah. Something was wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not going to get drugs, are you? She's like, what? No way. So she gets out. She goes in. I look back. First of all, she left the plate of food that she said she was bringing to her brother. And then I look again, and she actually left her used crack pipe in the back.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Free crack pipe and food.
So what'd you do?
So I left. I just dumped all her stuff out. And I was like, yep, we'll see you. Good luck.
How was dinner?
How was the crack? Yeah, man.
You didn't dive into that plate of food she had left?
I dumped it. Dumped everything.
Good call.
Probably a good idea.
All right, thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Not the crack mac and cheese isn't really good.
Yeah, from time to time, people will throw a blatant one right to your face, and then you're in a position to either call them out or ride along with it and go,
or just smoke the crack.
Okie dokie. Yeah. Whatever, but interesting. All right, well, thanks for sharing. We do appreciate it. Listen, I want to take a break. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kathy, do women like guys' butts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was curious about that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm not sure why women would find. Well, no, not bunghole.
The actual
but, I
hole
mean,
where the.
Well, I know what that
fecal
is.
Matter comes
no,
out.
But yeah, like guys can have a little bubble butt going on. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Because I have no ass. I have no butt. And my wife will tell me.
I got some for you.
Yeah. So you got these Amazon pants. We were talking about this last week, and the way the waistband is positioned. And the way it comes down into essentially the butt crack is kind of like this arrow that points down to the butt crack, it seems like. And I saw some pictures of a gal wearing something else and then these, and it looked like it really gave her a wonderful posterior.
A wonderful
it almost looks like a push-up bra for your ass going the other way.
Right, so, but it's not that. There's no padding in it. So our former intern, Brooke, this is how I came across these. I saw her on an ad for these pants on TikTok. So
and Brooke is very athletic.
Yeah, when we talked about this, I said to her, what are the pants that you're promoting? And so she sent me the link. So that's what we got. We got their Omkaji, unique style, unique life. But anyway, those are the pants that we got. So they come in two different styles, Preston. They come in what you just described, where there's actually fabric that points down towards the butt.
Yeah.
And then the other style was that kind of like fishnet-looking style.
Yes.
And that actually has... So I tried them on. It actually has a seam that's kind of ruched or scrunched up. That goes,
ruched?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like, you know, scrunched up the way that they sew it. And that goes...
Ruched is French for butthole. Okay.
Well, yeah, that goes down the butt crack. So essentially all it's doing is giving you a wedgie in the one style. The other one has how you described it.
So see, the other is a little bit just more contouring and less invasive, while the one is really like a thong.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's contouring. We'll see.
All right. So while so Kathy brought those in. We're gonna sample this. I'm going to try them on here in a second. But while we're doing that, we wanted to do in conjunction... pants and pancakes.
They seem to work well together
because the same time.
There's a bit of alliteration there,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So why not do it? So Casey has mixed up the pancake mix. He's brought in his rice cooker. That's a really small rice cooker.
That is very small.
Listen, I'm surprised.
It's my daughter's.
Oh, okay.
Santa brought it for her. It's her personal rice cooker. Okay. Yeah.
She really has a rice cooker?
She loves
rice. That's adorable.
Rice.
Do you have one for the family? Or is that the only one
that's
in your house?
That's the one we have.
Okay. Because I was thinking... A lot bigger cake.
To tell you the truth, I thought that was was the size of a rice cooker.
My rice cooker is actually smaller than that.
Oh, is it?
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway,
I like rice too.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. I was thinking of like the pressure cooker.
I was thinking of like a hot tub.
All right.
Those are big.
Casey, we talked about this last week. Casey made a pancake in the rice cooker, and it comes out instead of big and wide, it's really really thick, almost like a cake. And so we wanted to. Try it out first. So we had to sample this.
I was very intrigued by this because, you know, like if places come by with pancakes and or waffles, I eat them sans syrup and butter because I just happen to like the batter that is a pancake.
Yeah.
So when he brought this notion up to me, I'm like, well, that seems interesting.
Yeah. Well, I also brought butter and syrup, and I was going to do my butter syrup combination.
Wow. Well, let me have a piece without, because that'd be the way I'd have to check it out.
Yeah. All right. So, and Casey mixed up the batter. Here's the secret about pancake batter.
Is it love?
Just to let you know. Well, there is some love involved, but if you want your pancakes to come out lighter and fluffier, number one, don't overmix. Your ingredients, you want to kind of fold them a little bit. You do need to get it all incorporated in, but you don't want to sit there, and you especially don't want to use an electric mixer.
Right.
That'll make them dense.
Okay.
And you also want to let the batter sit before you start cooking with it. Let it sit for at least 5 minutes. So it's been sitting there for
about 5 minutes,
which is good. So that
sit
way
batter sit.
We'll make sure that we get a fluffier
all
right.
Pancake.
Yeah, I'm hoping because the only thing, I forgot to bring a measuring cup, and I know you don't live by that, but I do because I don't know what a cup looks like. I don't know what a 3/4 of a cup looks like. So
a cup?
Besides the oil that I put into it and the egg, everything else is kind of eyeballed.
How's your... Okay. Well, you could probably estimate with all your time of cooking.
Good with it,
All right, so did you assist in the measuring or...
I went by consistency, and the consistency seems pretty good.
So you tried this, and this was actually... One of these was done as a birthday cake, correct?
No.
I thought you had a...
No. It was just a straight up...
He decorated it, but...
Received well?
My son, like, he's a finicky eater.
Yeah.
He was asking later on, he's like, is there any more of that stuff left? So he loved it. Yeah. So
I'm excited. And then they say that the best way to eat this is wearing incredibly constrictive pants.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And you should pair it with chicken wings.
Yes.
Great.
So we're in luck.
It's absolutely.
Came by today.
I have a feeling the Kardashians do this all the time.
Case, go on over there. Put it in the mixer or in the rice cooker. And
we're capturing this on IMAX film.
Casey was saying, in about 15 minutes or so that it'll take to cook, so we'll have him do that. And then while he's getting that going, we can talk about these pants a little bit more, and that way we can have pants and pancakes in one shot.
Well, do you want to put them on?
Can you put up the picture? Do we have pictures of Brooke wearing them and the way they're supposed to look so that we can know how, in other words...
Yeah, like it just pops your booty. Like, yeah. I feel like, you know, there was like an emphasis on different clothing, you know, over the years, you know, accentuating your cleavage and the push-up bra and all that kind of stuff. And now I feel like the butt is really getting a lot of attention. So that's what these pants are.
So let me ask you, on a practical workout level, these could not be good,
no,
right?
You know what I actually tried? That's part of the video that these girls are doing, is that it's showing that, you know, it pops the booty, makes your butt look good, and then they do the squat test, which is squat down, see if they're see-through or not. So, yeah, girls are wearing them to work out. I did try
them on. Are they see-through when the squatting takes place?
No, that's why the girls are wearing them during workout.
Now, when I put these on, I'm not wearing a thong today, so you are going to see my panty lines.
Oh, God, that's a no-no.
You're going to look like a whore. I know, for today, yeah. Right? All right, well, give me a pair.
All right, do you want large or extra large? What do you? I think you'll be okay in the large. Yeah.
Probably. All right, Marissa, can you get a picture of my ass before I put these on, just wearing my regular jeans?
Oh, you're getting the fishnets, Preston.
My no butt.
Yeah, giving you the fishnets. These are the most fun.
I'm hating Kathy's advice to go nowhere near these.
Yeah, Steve. What I don't think these are made. They're not made for everyone, Steve.
Okay.
There you go.
Preston suffers from no acetol, right?
No acetol.
Yeah.
I have no acetol.
Same.
Nick, do you want to try the other pair?
Is this Brooke up on the?
No, Brooke. Brooke didn't post any of the photos of her ass on.
To me, I would find it looks quite wonderful. However, I would find that insanely uncomfortable.
Dude, chicks wear stuff up their butt all the time.
It's just not a guy thing.
But yes, this, Steve, to go to the gym, I would never go to the gym.
Kathy,
with these
basically, why not just spray paint your ass and go work out?
I mean, that's what it is.
I'm stripping down to my underwear.
Okay. Right.
No big deal. Right. Whatever. You guys,
if some poop falls out, deal with it.
All right.
What color are yours, Preston? Because I got the pink ones.
I'm wearing black. You're wearing pink?
No, pants.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nick, I like your boxers, man.
Pink underwear, but.
Are those holiday boxers?
They are.
Nick, I don't know if those are going to work with your box.
They'll work.
Underneath there?
Listen.
Bulky, man.
Let me just. Here's a caveat. This is not a completely scientific experiment. Right,
well, yeah, normally I wouldn't wear anything.
No, you would.
Commando.
I could just say an institute.
I have a pair for you, Casey. You want them?
Preston.
Case, I got a special pair for you.
Here's the deal.
Kathy, hold this. Wait, Casey, look at this. Look at what Preston is holding up. There's no goddamn way.
Wait, how do I tell? They're going to be a little short on me for sure, but mine are a lovely blue. I like these. All right, I'm going to do it.
Kathy.
Here's
the deal.
You have to.
It's full disclosure.
Are you on your period?
No, but I didn't take a shower last night, so my ass stinks. Can I just buy them and not give them back?
Just don't worry about it.
All right. Oh
my God, these are hard to put on. Just from a balance, trying to stand on one foot.
Kathy, how hard is it to return stuff like this after a guy's ass is... done a Jackson Pollock on the inside.
It'll be fine, Casey. I will just wash them. They're not getting returned to the store. They're getting returned to somebody who owns all of them.
These things are tight.
Yeah, they are, dude. A large might not work for me.
I have an extra large if you need it, Preston.
I think my ass is pretty good.
Turn around. No, Nick. This.
You just saw my junk. Is that what you said?
No, I'm seeing too much of Preston's junk over there. Seriously?
These are comfy.
Where's that? I have tight. A pair for you if you want.
They're tight, but they're comfy. Yeah.
Turn around, Nick.
How about my ass, Steve?
Well, because of the mitigating underwear. Kathy's giving a massive wedgie to Nick.
Well, because they need to go up a little.
All right, here. Let me take my sweatshirt off.
You look like a superhero. You look like Spider-Man, dude.
I feel the texture is like Aquaman.
Oh my God! Turn around so I can see your ass.
I'm gonna try it. Hang on, real quick. I'm straightening out my underwear so it's not all bunched up.
We'll get a
pretty good view.
Oh my God!
You know what? They're really comfortable. I mean,
are they?
They're tight, like
compression pants,
like long underwear, you know, or something like that. But the
I would die.
Sure,
do they look good? Kathy's laughing because she's so attracted to my ass.
Let me see. The texture of the fabric is nice, isn't it, Nick?
I'm wearing these from now on.
I like
these are fine, Steve.
Actually,
Steve, you got to get a pair that'll fit you because they feel really nice.
I'll pass. I hate them.
I still have no ass.
No,
damn, but Casey. Casey has the ass.
Is it popping?
Kate, you have a popping ass.
Let me see your ass.
Hang on a second.
I can't pull them up anymore.
They gotta go.
I know. They can't get up into my butt crack. Hang on. I'm trying.
Turn around.
Let me see. All my equipment is all over.
If your balls are not under your chin by now.
Oh, hang on. I got to check the pancakes, guys.
Oh,
wait, pants and pancakes.
Wait, let's go check.
Casey's bouncing over to get the pancakes. And he's bent over. Case, your ass looks awesome.
It does.
It looks,
yes.
Case, you have a great
Preston,
ass, dude.
It's hip-hop video good.
It is. Wait, can you twerk? Can you try to twerk?
Put on something. Put on some music.
I don't have access to that.
We have Anaconda?
Yeah, Anaconda.
I need to see a video of somebody twerking because I don't know what twerking looks like.
Preston, it does. You do have a flat butt, but it's giving you a little bit of a pop.
Does it accentuate? Yeah, I can't see it, so I don't know.
It is.
Not quite twerking. You have to. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You got to bend your knees, spread your legs apart.
Bounce your butt
up
and down.
Bounce your butt up and down.
Yeah. Well, no, you're going from the up-down position. Go down, up. Yeah.
Here's a video.
Yes.
Back that up. Back that up. Show him the.
All right, here we go.
Because we need to see. That's not it. Hold on. That's it.
That's it.
That's a twerk.
He's trying.
Bang.
Pull your shirt up.
Damn, dude.
How's Nick's butt? We haven't expected that yet.
I think he has wonderful boxers on today that are very holiday-ish, but I think they're also flattening out the crack.
So Nick has the different type of leggings on, which is the one that sort of just has different material that's pointing down towards the butt. Yeah. I would say it's not as accentuating as the ones that Preston and Casey have on.
You know what you guys should do? You know that famous shot of the girls with the thongs in the back of the pickup truck? Get side by side.
Wait. I saw it.
You couldn't be in a more pornographic position if you tried. Nick is up on the counter.
Oh, yeah.
One leg up, one knee up on the counter, and his leg on a chair. Sorry. Someone needs to take him now. This is your best shot ever.
Over, big boy.
I can't stand things that tight on my...
You feel nice.
Yeah. Should we do a side-by-side?
Yeah.
Photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to see... I gave away the colors on the air, unfortunately, but I would like to see... If people could guess who's who.
Whose butt's who.
I think the guys, we already said Casey has the most.
Casey's got the best ass. Casey has a great ass.
Yeah.
I'll say it right here now.
Nice work, Case.
That young man has a great ass. That's a Delco ass if I've ever seen
it. Get side by side.
Hey, Case, serious question. Do you think your ass has gotten better from cycling?
Oh, I don't know. No.
No?
I just have a chunky ass. That's all.
All right.
That's all.
Well, you got to have some junk in the trunk.
I mean...
Kathy, would these would kill you, right?
Steve, the situation when I put these on with my butt.
Yeah.
I got a big butt as it is. With these on, my God. It looks ridiculous.
Was it? You would never work out in something like this.
No, I would never work out in these, no.
All right. Side by side. Now, Preston, you got a bit of... It's coming together a little bit. Casey's got the big succulent ass.
Work it! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Right.
Oh my God.
Jesus. It got real hot in here.
Some realizations just took place.
It did get real hot. That's
good stuff. My God. So, he's got a great ass.
And like Endgame, you know, that is America's ass. This is Delco's ass.
That is.
Yeah.
I've never seen an ass more Delco in my life.
I could do this all day.
Yeah, I know.
No, I would, if these fit properly, I would wear something like this instead of like the standard Under Armour stuff that I have underneath. But you know why? Because this kind of ridged, it's ribbed for my pleasure.
Yeah.
This ridged material feels really nice. Now the butt thing—it's not in my butt crack. I don't have a butt.
So
it
wait,
can't get up in my ass crack.
You're not wearing. You're wearing boxers, right?
No, I'm wearing a boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs. Okay. All right. So probably, I think we would probably wear this without underwear underneath it, right?
I think so.
Well, and I think that's part of it. So, like, the reason that it's not going completely in the butt is because they have something on. Like, when I put it on, it was, I mean, it's up there. It's like a thong.
I can go take my underwear off and put these on if you want.
It might help pop your booty a bit.
You know what? You should do it.
All right, can you guys take it for a minute here?
Yeah, let me talk about pancakes real quick. You don't have to go into the bathroom.
Just go into Marissa's booth.
I'm going to get full-on naked from the waist down for a moment.
No, go into the office.
Okay.
Oh, that's got a glass door.
go into the XTU studios.
So, Steve, with the pancakes going on right now, so if you look at the rice cooker, you see how the orange light is lit? That's for warm, and that's because the rice cooker, it got to temperature, and so it won't cook now. So now I've got to wait for the rice cooker to kind of cool down in order for me to be able to cook it again. So there's a button.
And is it, it's when you're done, this this super pancake,
I can't wait for you to
is
try.
Now cooked all the way through.
Uh-huh.
Wait, do you have to flip it or it cooks?
No, it just cooks all the way through.
Okay.
So if you were to make it, so they were impugning the size of your rice maker, but I mean, if you had a bigger one, would it work as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be thicker, right? So if it had more diameter to it, then the pancake would then be thinner. But because it's, you know, I guess less diameter. And I don't know what rice cookers are supposed to look like. You know, it's the first one I ever saw with my own two eyes. So when I cooked it the other day, it was probably, what is that? That's like 8 inches, right?
yeah, sure. That's 8 inches.
No, it's about
5-6 inches.
Yeah. Like 3 inches thick or something like that. But
yeah, that's about 12 inches. about 12 inches and a lot of girth.
A lot of girth.
Yeah.
Some veins and stuff.
Purple at the top. I'm very excited to try this. But this, you don't do this as breakfast. You do this as a dessert, right?
Wow.
Well,
what did I do it as? I did it as dinner. We did breakfast.
This was actually your meal.
This was breakfast for dinner, which is, you know, for a child and some adults,
sure.
It is a total treat.
It's fun.
And I was talking to my mom about breakfast for dinner when I was making this, and she goes, like, I thought.
I'm not your mother.
Well, when I was a kid, I thought breakfast for dinner was a treat. Like, it was, we don't have anything else to cook.
Yeah.
And no, what do we have? We have eggs and pancakes. Let me see, Press.
It works.
Does it work better?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Oh.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yes. No, it definitely did.
So was it too crumbled because of the boxers?
I'm wearing boxer briefs.
Yeah?
But yeah, I was getting in the way, and now I can feel it sliding up
in your ass.
Should I take my underwear off?
Yeah.
All right.
How much longer are we going with this?
I don't know.
Long enough.
We got time. Casey's checking the pancake.
Hey, Nick, hold on. Let me give you a different pair.
Can you give him a tampon? Oh, is that better?
Okay. I'm giving Nick the same ones Casey and Preston
have. Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, that's going to be much better. So I took my underwear off. That was weird.
Would you wear this now this way?
Being in a production studio with completely naked for a moment there.
Why? Jackie does it all the time.
I know.
I know.
Would I wear these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, if they fit properly.
Because
they're too small.
I've worn Armor All, but even my Armor All is sort of loose-ish.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy when I have that. When I have that tuck up into my ass.
Your Under Armour leggings or whatever?
Yeah.
If you remember, last year I bought those quarter eggings.
That's right,
from
CVS?
At CVS. Yeah. And those were super comfy. I just haven't put them on again.
You don't buy a lot of clothing from CVS traditionally.
Not normally.
I am instinctly putting my hand on my hip. While I'm wearing these.
You have to, like, pop it out.
You know why? You want to know why? Because you're fierce.
Yeah.
I am.
You are fierce.
No, I'm fierce.
Yeah, fierce.
Okay. And I will have to see the video proof. It's still not hugging my butt crack all the way. So
you know, it's the best ass in the building.
Who?
John DiBella.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a pair for him.
Yeah. How much longer on the pancakes?
All right. So as you were naked in the studio.
All right. Wait, you need the unveiling. Nick, turn around. Face.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about this. Nick just came in.
Butt to the studio. You're going to want to burn those. No, Nick, I can't see if you have to turn around this way.
Yeah, so Steve can see if you would, please.
Yeah.
It's better? A bit of an improvement.
Right.
A bit of an improvement. You actually have.
It's not going in the butt for me.
They're not pull all the way out.
Pull them up all the way. Because there's almost like a pregnancy thing.
I think I caught my right one.
Yeah, that's
I know, right?
I turn around, turn back.
You got it.
Yes, that's more.
That's better, Nick.
All right.
Yeah, you just got to pull them way up.
You got a little butt, too.
I have a tiny ass. Or no ass. But, now, yeah, I just clipped my right ball by accident.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it happens.
That hurts, doesn't it? That hurts.
Yeah. All I was trying to do was pull up my pants, and I clipped the ball.
Around where your nutsack.
Yeah.
Yeah, around my bunghole.
Back to your bunghole.
Yeah, help me, Jay should have gotten a pair of these.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm talking too tight on my left nut around to where my poop comes out. I'll get right on it, Mr. President.
Okay.
I'm trying on my booty pop pants and caught my left ball, and then I'm getting down where the poop comes out of my butthole.
I feel like
yes, sir.
We should do some kind of choreographed movements since we're wearing
bowel movements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. That's
the only move I know.
I'm
holding up the wrong hand. So I'm holding up the right hand.
Yeah, me too.
It's left hand.
You got to put a ring on it. There's a video right behind you.
You can follow.
All you have to do is coordinate yourselves like Beyonce in a matter of moments, and you'll be fine.
I feel silly right now.
And sexy.
And we're waiting on a pancake.
Yeah. And pants and pancakes and all kinds of good stuff.
What's the status of the pancake case?
I'm looking. No, they're still not done.
Should we take a break and come back and see if they're done on the other side?
A 2-hour pancake.
It is getting there. Can you smell them?
Yeah, I can smell. But I think we should take a break.
Are you going to try on any of these?
I mean, if you... Stand back.
Okay.
Wait, before we go to break, I want to give out Brooke's Instagram account because people were asking. It's Brooke Morris with 3 S's at the end. So Brooke, B-R-O-O-K-E, Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S-S-S.
And she's sort of an influencer for the stuff?
No. I came by it. Yeah. It was this Amazon pants. I was like, wait a minute, that's our intern. And it was like a little video of her revealing her butt.
That's very cool.
Very beautiful young woman. All right, yeah, let's take a quick break. I'll change back into normal clothing.
Loosen your balls.
Yep, and then hopefully we'll try some pancakes out.
Yeah.
What a morning.
And then you're going to do it or no?
I'll put them on for you.
All right, excellent. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR proudly presents the return of Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, Monday, May 2nd.
Hey, everyone, we're back, so get your ponytails ready for the chopping block. It's for a great cause, Wigs for Kids. Their mission, helping children look themselves and live their lives. Two locations this year, Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting and David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. Make sure you have at least 12 inches, preferably 14 inches of hair to donate. And with what's left, the amazing stylist from Gravity and David Arnold Hair Salons will craft you a great new do. All donors get a gift bag of products from True Beauty Concepts. So go to PrestonandSteve.com for ponytail guidelines to ensure you have a minimum of 12 inches, but preferably 14 inches of hair to donate. Then make your appointment to join us May 2nd.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Please welcome Ari Spears. Yay!
Yo, what up?
How you doing, Aries?
I'm all good, brother. How are you?
We're wonderful. You had you did a show last night?
Yeah. First show last night.
What's the vibe of the crowd? I mean, people are dying to get out. It's
absolutely wonderful, man. You know, people are dying to get out, but even before all of this nonsense, you know, and I'm not just, you know, doing this because I'm with you guys. Philly is just one of those spots, man. You know, I'm an East Coast dude.
Yeah.
New York, the energy, the New York, the East Coast energy, the vibe, the people, the busyness. You know, when I got back on the road from this COVID country lockdown, one of my first stops was in Mississippi. 8 people showed up to the show, which I don't even mind as long as it's 8 intelligent people, but I'm in Mississippi. And I'm in Mississippi. You know, them Negroes don't read.
Well, you're here. You're here, and we love you. I mean, and, you know, we think you're fantastic. Your stand-up's great, and obviously everything that you do. I keep using the phrase, and people seem to like it, a coiled spring. People just chomping at the bit. Memorial Day weekend, Ari Spears, Helium, it's going to be great. So you've been in town, you had your shows last night. Are you going to have any time to take in some of the town and get around? Or, I mean, you're working your ass off.
Yeah, I never really do, man, because usually, you know, I'm doing press all day long.
Right.
In the early part of the day, and my nights are late, so I usually have to press just sleep in until it's time to go to work.
Well, I understand that you have, you are, and I see you, I follow you on Instagram, and you're always soliciting your fan base for shows. I know you're looking for stuff. You like to binge. You're a binging dude, right?
Yeah.
And so what gets the major thumbs up from you right now as the most bingeable show that you've recently encountered?
The last two shows that I went nuts for was Ozark and this Godfather in Harlem.
Oh, is that good?
Is good? Godfather in Harlem is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. All right. Yeah, that was on my list.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that cast, I forget how to pronounce his last name, but he was on one of those Law and Order shows, Vincent something.
D'Onofrio.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's great.
Him, Giancarlo Esposito, Forrest Whitaker. That cast is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard great things. Good. I'm gonna have to check that out. I know that you also watched, and I was telling Preston about it, this ABC Mike Tyson documentary.
I saw the first part.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I saw it. I can't wait for the second part.
So we followed his career, and I thought I'd seen all the footage that was seeable. Mm-hmm. They have tons of stuff I've never seen before.
Well, yeah, I've always been a Mike Tyson, Michael Jordan groupie.
Yeah.
And prior to that great 10-part series, I had seen everything there was to see on Michael Jordan. And then The Last Dance came out, and I didn't know he was such a potty mouth, and I loved every bit of it.
Yeah, the Tyson stuff is wild. And you actually, on your Instagram page, you had a picture of him. Tyson ended up on the Kiss Cam, and this woman he's with, and you're right, apparently loves him, and you can tell there seems to be some real chemistry there, because I was telling Preston, I'm watching that footage of that horrible Barbara Walters, Robin Givens, and it was like the most awkward thing. And, Tyson's been very candid about his demons and so on and so forth.
Right.
And so on and so forth. But, yeah, that always seemed like this does, none of that ever resonated as nothing more than a limelight move. You know what I'm saying?
I'm so happy for him because, let's be honest, we thought he was going to end in one of two ways, either dead or in jail.
Yeah.
And to see him turn around his life to the point where he's like the black Betty White.
Mike Tyson is the black Betty White. I love that.
It's like he's so revered now. He's so loved now.
And he doesn't even understand it. I mean, but it just happened.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he figured it out in some weird, magical way, and better late than never. He's totally turned himself around. He gets it. But I've also seen him do compelling interviews on his own podcast where he's broken down and cried and talked about how hard it is for him to suppress being who he used to be.
Right, right. And you get a lot of that. The Spike Lee stage show that he did, that was a revelation. And then I'm a huge fan of the Mike Tyson Mysteries, the animated series. Did you ever watch any of that? Norm Macdonald.
I never really caught that.
Yeah, but it's wild to see it. Did you ever do any box or any fighting in your
Man, I wanted to be a boxer before I wanted to be a comedian, but man, I like cookies, man.
and they don't go together, do they?
No.
You never see a cookie montage in a boxing movie.
I like things with sugar and grease, and it wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, they were showing some of his training. I'm like, man, he's eating like a bowl of air, and it's like nothing,
Yeah, I mean, when he was in his prime, with Customato and Jim Jacobs, no one beats him in his prime. Yeah. Not even God. I mean, he was such an animal.
Yeah.
He was such an animal.
They show, and I was telling Preston, they have a conga line of those first round knockouts where you have seasoned boxers like, what just happened? It's just amazing. Right. Yeah.
I always wanted to see him in Tyson in his prime and George Foreman in his prime going toe to toe. Because you talk about two hard hitting individuals, man.
As amazing as that sounds, I don't think George would have a chance.
Yeah. Really?
He was too slow.
Yeah.
He was too slow. And Mike was so fast and he was so great at slipping and dipping.
Yeah. Bobbing and weaving.
And bobbing and weaving.
Yep.
And, Ali showed us that George Foreman just throws large looping hooks, and Mike Tyson would have penetrated through that, and it would have been over.
No, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, because I saw on your own site you have this mobile game app, and I don't know if this is we're late to this.
Well, it's almost complete. I'm still working out a few kinks.
What's the story behind this?
A comedian out of Boston who used to open for me named Tom Dustin, he just did this thing where he would challenge you to name a certain amount of movies within a certain amount of time by your favorite actor.
Okay.
And as long as you weren't being timed, you could do that all day.
Yeah.
But when you're put to time, it's something about being pressed with time that makes your brain lock up.
We do a
so
game.
It was just a,
We do a game called 5 and 10, and you're exactly right. You have a little bit of time to think about it. You can do it. But like, I mean, if you just say, give me
you have to name five things in a category in 10 seconds, and it sounds like it's easy, but it's really, really hard.
Under pressure.
And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
That's cool. So, and so you're still doing, obviously, a lot of videos. You have your own podcast and stuff that you're still working on. Was that sort of the bridge when everything was locked down? You still seem to be working a lot. Just you had to sort of roll and pivot.
I'm good, baby. I'm doing what I do.
Yeah. Well, that's good news, man. Because we talked to some people where it wasn't the case, and it's kind of sad. But I mean, you know, you to be on this end of it is a glorious thing.
Yeah, it can be both the blessing and the curse. You know, I know a lot of comedians. I even know a really famous comic who said he had to move out of his house. He had to downgrade because he wasn't working and he was going broke.
Wow.
So I've been fortunate enough to still be out there.
Well, so I know that part of the game is when you're going from city to city and you want to sell tickets, is you got to stop by morning radio. And I know that's not always the same thing you want to do, you know, especially if you're coming from like L.A. and you're coming over and there's a time difference and you did a show on Thursday night. And, you know, so and we have probably the most interactions with comedians because you guys will tour. And so year after year, we'll have people come by. And I just know for me personally, like when you came by, I'm like, I want him to like us, like, because I'm a fan of yours, right? So I'm a fan of yours. I'm like, I want Aries Spears to like us.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I'm like, oh, man, like.
But you know what it is? There were two mindsets. And when a lot of shows end up, I think that they make the mistake of, and we call it, either you're going to interrogate a guest, you know, and just have your sec, or you have a conversation. And when we switched to years ago to the conversation mode, that's when, like, everything started clicking, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's this give and take relationship between the artist and the radio personalities. It's like any other kind of relationship. You know, you hope to have great sex, but sometimes it don't work out.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah.
I have great interview sex with you guys.
Thank you.
It's always fun to come back.
Yeah. By the way,
we let you finish wherever you want.
Aries likes this because he DM'd me last year and said he was coming through town.
Yeah.
And I look down and I'm like, oh man, Aries is coming to town. And he had sent me the DM like 6 months before. You guys know me. I don't check any of my social media stuff at all. I sent him an apology. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry, man. I would have gotten back to you right away.
I thought because you didn't respond to me. I was like, damn, we had bad interviews.
So, Aries, remember,
check my social media.
If you're ever abducted, don't text Preston because you'll never get rescued.
Won't be there.
We had Tig Notaro in. Gosh, it had to have been a couple of years ago, and she's super dry, right? And I'm a huge fan of hers, and. But I was like,
that immediately sounds like bad interview sex.
Yes, it does. It was. She's great. It's not that she's not funny. It was bad interview sex. And you kind of like, in the middle of it, you're like, well, I guess we're going to finish anyway. And, you know, it'll still taste like pizza. Like,
well, when you use the word dry, that's a dead giveaway.
It is.
Yeah, dry sex is not good.
No.
Dry is not good. Speaking of Tig Notaro, though, Aries, if you, Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead. On Netflix.
Have you watched it yet?
Have you watched that? Yeah, that's a good one.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Or if you're into, are you into any of the superhero stuff at all? Or the
No, absolutely I am. You know, but I'm not one of those geeky dudes, man, that, you know, dress up as the characters and go to the conventions.
I would not have pegged you as a cosplay guy.
No. So I only go so far.
Well, Zack Snyder's Justice League cut. It's about 4 hours.
Amazing.
Right?
Okay, good.
Right? So damn
amazing.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
It had me angry at Warner Brothers. It's got me still angry at Warner Brothers.
We had heard the story, and so we've struck up a friendship with Zack Snyder now. He's a friend of the show, and we'll check in with him, and it's great. But when I was hearing the initial hubbub, I'm like, well, okay, there's a couple of new things that are coming in. It's an entirely different movie.
And I've watched that thing 18 times, and the 4 hours goes by like nothing.
Yeah. I mean
it's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece.
It's so good. Were you a fan of his Watchmen movie?
No, I never checked that out.
Yeah, I think it did that too.
I usually just play with the big boys. You know, I said on my podcast, it doesn't make sense to me. I know how Marvel is the big boy on the block.
Yeah.
But it never made sense to me that you had the Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and the Larry Bird of superheroes and Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, and how Marvel is kicking your ass.
Right.
That does not make sense to me.
No, it's true.
Well, I guess they just didn't practice. You know what I mean?
Like, you know what happened was, is that, so I'm a massive Batman fan. Massive. I mean, ever since I was a kid. And the Frank Miller Batman version, you know, the Dark Knight, all that stuff. But what happened was is that they focused so much on that series that they weren't developing the second tier players, and then they had to do a lot of catch up. They left that to Zack Snyder. But you see, between Batman v Superman and the Justice League, his cut of the Justice League, it was all sitting there ready to go. We hope, and the word is, they're going to let him sort of kick back up doing his version, what they call the Snyderverse, and follow through with it, because I'd love to see that continue.
And can we please admit and put this to bed? Ben Affleck is Batman.
Yes!
You're speaking Steve's
Batman.
Language.
He is the best screen Batman. He got it.
This is the best interview sex this Steve is has my, ever had.
I am ready. Aries, let me just go get a condom. I need...
Nah, finish. Go bareback.
Dude, I'll go bareback. No, you're right. And that's the thing. Now, I'm very intrigued about the Batman coming out. Matt Reeves.
I hate him. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
But he looks like an exotic bird. I don't like his face.
But, you know, let's meet after we see it when it comes out and compare notes.
Let me tell you something. Ben Affleck has spoiled it. And I know that in the beginning, he caught a lot of flack. Everybody thought he was going to be horrible.
Not for me.
And I know people have a special place in their heart for Michael Keaton, because he was the first big screen major motion picture Batman.
And he was great.
And Christian Bale was a big one. But Ben Affleck, it captures it. The bulky suit, the beard stubble.
Yes.
He's handsome.
He's pissed off.
He's got it.
Do you know, Aries, the scene that got it for me? The warehouse fight in Batman v Superman.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic.
When he takes the knife out of his shoulder and then pushes the guy against the wall and slams the knife into him, I'm like, you are my Batman.
Dude, let me tell you, here was my orgasm moment.
Yeah.
From Zack Snyder's Justice League. When they do the nightmare scene,
yeah,
and he tells Jared Leto,
yeah,
I will I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but yes, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, he goes, I will effing kill you. Yeah.
Kill you. When he dropped that F-bomb, with that voice, I said, this is the dude, man.
I hope they get to do the follow through on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they really do Justice League 2, because I want to see, was it Martian Manhunter?
Yeah, Martian Manhunter. How cool was that?
I want to see Green Lantern and Shazam. I want to see the whole team together.
Yeah, I mean they've got a whole stable that's just sitting right there. But you're right. But it was a Warner Brothers fumble. That might, you can't argue with the fact that Christopher Nolan was doing great, sensational Batman movies. But in this realm, this Batman in this universe, in the Zack Snyder verse, that's all I need, man. Keep that going.
I don't know who it is at Warner Brothers that's sabotaging this. But this is why I hate sometimes people in power.
Yeah.
Because they don't give a damn about the creative side of things. And yet they have the power to decide what happens and what doesn't.
Well,
just sign the check. Sign the check.
You've come up against that. I mean, a lot of times just in shows that I'm sure you have. I mean, you've been on Mad TV and stuff like that. Did you ever come up against,
You know, every now
the suits, the higher ups making calls.
Our people were pretty good.
Were
they? They were pretty good at letting us do what we wanted to do. But every now and then, they would kind of, you know, stick their finger in our chili and mess it up.
I like that. Yeah, but I guess a lot of times what happens is to sort of validate what they do or what they're supposed to be
doing.
That's
exactly what
it is. Yeah, they come in and screw things up.
Hey,
I don't understand how you have the title as I'm the VP of comedy and you don't know anything about comedy.
right. Yeah. I just want to see if you guys were truly meant for each other. Aries, what is your favorite video game of all time?
Sports wise, NBA 2K.
Okay.
Action wise, it's a toss up between Grand Theft Auto and God of War.
God of War.
That's Steve.
Dude,
I think you guys
God
are dating.
War. Yeah,
you guys gotta hang out. He,
Aries.
Here's a text that says this guy Aries sounds like he could actually get Steve to have a beer.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you
that God of War series, like in the first game. When you realize that Kratos is covered in the ashes of his wife and daughter, that's why his skin has that power. And he's sitting right there on the throne, and you're like, holy F. And then the story, like the last game, was just sensational. I mean,
let me tell you something. I got a PS5. I got a 85-inch 4K TV.
Yeah.
If you play that game, you have to have the right accessories. You have to.
Yeah.
You're doing yourself a disservice because between the HD, the clarity, I got a video game chair with the surround speakers. When I start doing that, my girl has no shot.
Yeah.
You need to come over to Steve's house. How big is your gaming TV?
120 inches.
Yeah.
So the white guy does have a bigger one.
I'll tell you this, though. What the problem is when you go with the projector set. Now, I have a short throw projector, which is great. But if you want the frame rate to be good, the projectors are not quite frame rate, up to the frame rate that you need for really good gaming. You know?
Oh, so you have a projector, though.
It's a short throw projector, and it's a 4K, it's HDR, and that's the future. That's the future for you at your home. $100,000 movie theaters at home are not a thing anymore. The average person can get a really incredible home theater for virtually nothing. You get a short throw. My projector sits about 9 inches, 10 inches from the screen, and I get 120 inches.
How much does something like that cost?
Wow.
So if you get like an Optoma projector, you're talking in the $3,000, $3,500. And then the screen, which is an ambient light reflecting, it won't reflect ambient light, you can do pretty well in about the $1,500 to $2,000 range.
Oh, so just $5,000.
Yeah, but I'm saying if for try to buy a 120-inch picture tube or an actual TV, you'll be $150,000 to $200,000. It'd be crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a lunatic, as am I, and you save up lots of your Christmas and birthday wishes, and your wife says, okay, you can get it, then you get it. Yeah.
Wow. Right.
Aries, do you like cedar plank salmon?
Steve's favorite meal.
I don't like. I've never had cedar plank salmon, but I do like blackened salmon.
Okay,
all right, okay, yeah.
I'm just making sure. I'm trying to set up a
table. Listen, we need to
no,
get.
No,
a...
He had me. He had me at hello.
Nice.
All right, I want to see if you and I can date. Did you see Ted Lasso yet?
No.
On Apple Plus.
Okay. Yeah. Game over.
Sorry,
well,
Chad.
I got a question for him, and I hope he answers this the right way.
All right.
If he answers this the right way,
we're getting married?
Get married with no prenup.
No prenup.
All right.
Between the two movies, which one is better, Wyatt Earp or Tombstone?
Okay, Tombstone.
My man, what's your ring size?
This is amazing.
I respect Wyatt Earp, I have Preston and I constantly wear Tombstone shirts, and the reason why the relationship between Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer, it does not get any better.
Let me tell you something. This is my man cry.
Yeah.
In that scene when the guy says to him, Doc, what are you doing out here? You should be in bed.
Yeah.
He goes, Wyatt Earp is my friend. Uh-huh. Hell, I got lots of friends. I don't.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. That is such a great that scene where he's at the end and he and Wyatt Earp has taken out the cards to play and he's like, please leave.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please leave. And then he says, he gives him the book. He gives him the book that he wrote about Doc Holliday. And that scene, Preston.
There's so many good scenes. Yeah. It's ridiculous. One of my favorites is Wyatt Earp looks like he's going to be leaving, and he turns around and he shoots one of the cowboys, and he turns to Virgil and just goes, holds up his finger, one.
Yep.
That's one. That's the first one.
Oh, but hold up. After he says, and hell's coming with me.
Yes.
They cut to that. Four horses.
Yes.
With the sun behind them.
Yeah.
Oh,
the apocalypse. It's
I don't know how they're getting that camera work, too, because they're right up alongside them. You know, what sort of...
And when you mention the action video games, have you ever played Red Dead Redemption?
Yes, sure. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Oh, yeah, I mean, that puts you, you can get lost in that. I'll say this, as good as Grand Theft Auto is, there's something about being in the West and being kind of in that Tombstone realm that I kind of dig a little bit more, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's cool stuff. But yeah, Tombstone, man, we're now getting married.
Without a question, it has to be one of the best performances by Val Kilmer. I never saw the Doors.
It's pretty amazing.
And I know he's up there with that. That's one of his top. Yeah. But Val Kilmer, there's so many quotables in Tombstone.
We were just talking about that. There is a Val Kilmer documentary coming out.
Yeah.
And what is it, Preston?
It's just called Val.
It's called Val. Val. And if all it was Tombstone, if all it was Doc Holliday, that'd be enough. Just great. Because that is the kind of friendship, that's a real friendship, where it's like, I don't care, you know, this is it. Like, okay, what do you... This guy's going to kill you. I'm going to kill him before he kills you. I don't need an explanation. This is it. This is how it goes. And that's that old West sort of, you know, for lack of that gallantry, you know, that it was just amazing.
Yeah.
There's a song by Eric Clapton, from the Lethal Weapon 3 soundtrack called It Was Probably Me. One of my favorite songs. It almost brings me to tears, man, because my best friend, who I've known since the fourth grade, and we're friends to this day. As much as I love women, and I love me some women, he truly comes before a woman for me.
Yeah. Wow. It's wild.
Yeah, because I know I can depend on him with my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I value that kind of stuff.
No, it's true.
By the way, I want to let the listening audience know that for Stephen Aries, I just set up their registry at Neiman Marcus.
Thank you. Something small but tasteful as far as a reception. Do you agree?
Candlesticks make a nice present.
Yeah. Find out where he's registered. Nice. Well, listen, we got to wrap, Aries. It is great to see you. I'm so far, you know, next time, obviously, you'll be sitting next to us. We'll have you in here.
And as always, please, people, check out my podcast, Spears and Steinberg, The Jew and the Jerk, or hit me up on Instagram in my DMs, and I'll send you the links.
Awesome, Aries.
We love you, Aries. Yeah. Thank you for coming on this morning.
You got it, brother.
Aries Spears, guys.
That's funny.
Helium Comedy Club. Oh, my God. He's a huge Ben Affleck fan as well as or Batfleck, somebody had texted in about. Yep. So nice. Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A little personal news to pass along.
You're pregnant.
No. But it is medically related.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's so weird because I don't know how I did this. I have no idea how I did this. On not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, I came in and my index finger hurt. It hurt to bend it. It would make this popping noise every now and then. It felt like it was swollen, even though it didn't look like it was swollen. I'm like, man, so I go through the week.
It's the kind of thing you're probably inclined to, I'll just shake it off.
Yeah, exactly. Right, blah, blah, blah. So I go through a week. It still hurts. I texted Dr. Mike. He gave me some advice. It's freaking broken, man. I have a fracture in my index finger. And I have no idea how I did it.
So there was no point at which you, like, closed it in a door. So just out of the blue.
Not that I can remember.
Your bones are breaking.
Yes.
I mean, stuff like that drives me crazy. Where you, like,
What?
I feel like Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
From Unbreakable.
Right.
You know?
What part of your finger?
I don't know. I didn't look at the x-ray, so I'm going to go to a doctor today.
The loving part.
And he's going to show. I got the x-ray yesterday, and then I just got word back, from Dr. Mike that it's fractured. So I go to a specialist today, a hand expert.
Are you going to have to do physical therapy?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt. No, they're gonna put a freaking brace on it, and I'll have to deal with it for a few weeks. But
you'd gotten so good at wiping.
I'm just mystified. Huh. That I broke it without any known trauma. I don't know what the hell happened.
Did it hit your hand?
So here's the deal. I remember, Casey, I was complaining about my finger. I don't remember this or not.
What day did it first start?
It was Wednesday. It was not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. I'm walking down the hall. Our maintenance guy, Jay, was in the hallway, and I go, "Hey, man!" And I flung my arm up, and I banged it on something on the wall, either a door. But Kathy, it had already been hurting. It had already was, and then I just go, "Oh man!" You know, I'm like, "God damn it!" And then, but it couldn't have been that because it had already hurt before that. It was already making the popping noise. Yeah. It was already doing this thing.
Can you? But no time. Listen, the odds that simple flick broke your finger.
I think it had to have been broken before.
It may have exacerbated it.
Yeah.
Wednesday after Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Okay.
Not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. It was like a week and a half ago.
Were you doing like finger guns by any chance?
I don't know.
Did you happen to, I don't even know, like maybe have sex on a hard surface, not a bed, maybe a floor or something like that, and maybe it got caught underneath at certain point?
He knows something about my personal life. That's why he's bringing it up.
I'm just wondering. I'm just trying to figure out how this maybe happened and, you know, in the throes of passion.
The floor wasn't very forgiving as far as,
that's why you got a waterbed.
I don't know, Case. Maybe it happened.
Because honestly, there are other things going on that you wouldn't even pay attention to the slightest break because other awesome things are happening.
I've wondered, with toes and things like that, and I don't want to tell it because it's a brag story about how I saved someone from a dodgeball injury,
right?
But it's my index finger, which has now healed itself up pretty nicely, Preston. Yeah. If you look, it's taking years, but it's linear. But at that point, these are the things that if you could have very easily have passed on it, right? Do you think if you were kind of going back and forth in your mind, should I go, should I not, should I go?
Oh, yeah.
You could have just said, the hell with it. If you said, what the hell with it, what would happen?
With
the broken finger.
There would have been nothing wrong with it.
Right.
It would eventually have
healed in a weird way, right?
There have been so many times that I've gone to the doctor with a problem or something like that, and I almost get laughed right out of the office.
Yeah.
So that is what kept me from going right away, because it hurt pretty bad. That's what kept me from going to the doctor right away, because I didn't want to be wasting anybody's time, and I didn't want to get I didn't want to get the guilt trip from... going
in. You feel like an idiot if you go in there.
Yeah, so...
That's the way they laughed at me when I went in with my labia. I was like, it's inflamed.
There's a couple texts. This one says, "Press, I injure myself in my sleep all the time." This person says, "I have fractured my foot 2 years in a row by just walking barefoot." I mean, like not stubbing their toe or doing anything like that.
My brother got a stress fracture in one foot because he had plantar fasciitis in the other foot. He might have actually gotten the stress fracture in the same foot as the plantar fasciitis.
That sucks.
But because of the way he was limping because of the plantar fasciitis, and that's what he gets for calling my plantar fasciitis plantar vaginitis. So
he got it too.
Karma.
You better watch it.
It is karma.
Oh, that's great.
Guess what? It hurts, man.
I remember one time watching the Tempest Bledsoe talk show.
Yes.
And she had vitiligo. I said, that's something I wouldn't like to get. I got it.
And you got it.
So now whenever I see a disease or a mouth, I want that.
Yeah.
Because it works the other way.
Yes.
By the way, somebody also texted and they said, "Don't worry, Rochelle will fix it." So here you go. So this person says, "President, I had the same issue. My right index finger had 3 hairline fractures. No idea how it happened. It hurt for about 2 months.
It must be easy to do.
Maybe. Yeah.
Your index finger, though, that's your business finger.
Yeah, it's my wife's favorite finger.
Yeah, that's your finger. In fact, you call it little Preston.
It's her favorite finger.
Little Preston wants a little nookie." Here comes Pointer. Here comes Pointer.
What are they all called? Wait a minute. Pointer. Here,
Thumbkin.
Thumbkin.
Pointer. Pinky, right?
Yeah.
All I know is Thumbkin.
Thumbkin and Pointer. I don't remember the rest.
I couldn't remember Thumbkin.
And the rest.
Yeah, and the rest.
Are here on Gilligan's Island.
This may be a really stupid question, but what's the difference between a broken bone and a fracture?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to the phones to a man who's on Fox 29. So, Penn Medicine, my boy. I'm waiting for the music here. There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, straight from the office, Dr. Mike Sereglianno.
Hey! What's up, Dr. Mike?
What did I say the first time? I think Rochelle did this to you.
Oh, and by the way, I give Dr. Mike the freedom to speak about my broken finger,
yes.
HIPAA, and so
and
forth.
Financial
so,
situation.
Yeah, that, if he knows it, sure, why not? I give him full permission here on the air. Dr. Mike, I called him. See, you know what? I felt like a dork bothering you with that, because I'm like, there's going to be nothing wrong with this. And, of course, turns out it's fractured.
It's all right. I'm just doing a tracheotomy.
Yeah.
Listen, so number one, Sir William Osler, the father of American medicine, said, listen to the patient and they will tell you the diagnosis. Secondly, I like tests. You ask anybody around the country.
Yeah, I know. You do like tests.
But you have to listen to your body.
Yeah.
And so if you have pain that's not going away, you don't want to ignore it. And you know who does that a lot? Men.
Yep.
Men tend to ignore their symptoms, and they don't get the medical care that they need. So you call, you do it, you get it done. We made a diagnosis. Now, interestingly, when people have fractures and we don't know why, we worry about two things, not in your case, of course, but do they have low bone density, osteoporosis? That can happen. And secondly, God forbid, you have what's called a malignant fracture, where there's a tumor, and that can lead to an unexplained fracture, even just sitting.
It's honestly, it's what I thought. I've never heard of that term before, Mike, but I was like, this thing had hurt. I didn't do anything to it. I'm like, I got cancer in my hand. Mm. I got some kind of tumor in my
hand. That's it. I need a hysterectomy.
Well, what came to me, the first thing came to my mind is you're a drummer. That's what I was.
That actually occurred to me, Mike. The same notion because you do it often. You do it a lot.
But I haven't played in like a month. I've been taking a break, so I knew for sure.
You picked up the sousaphone.
That wasn't it. Yes, which is much easier on the fingers. It was strange. And can you answer Nick's question, Mike? What is the difference between a break and a fracture?
Well, it's a matter of semantics. I mean, a fracture is a break in the bone. And there's all kinds of fractures. There's displaced fractures. Yours was non-displaced, meaning that the bone wasn't out of it wasn't separated. It wasn't moved over to one side. Wasn't sticking through the skin. Nothing that serious. So it was just a fracture where the bone was intact, but it was broken. Now, it's all a matter of semantics, and the thing is, you can do stuff to yourself, especially as we get older. Things are, you know, the cartilage and the connective tissue is not what it was when you're 18.
My cartilage when I was 18.
Would get hard like that.
Unbelievable. All you had to do is talk about cartilage.
My cartilage would stiffen up.
I'd wake up in the morning, the sheet would be poking up. My cartilage.
So now I'm going to a specialist, Dr. Bozenka.
Yeah.
Today, and he's going to. I've actually had to go to him before. When I broke my left hand.
Oh, well, lucky you.
That was indoor skydiving.
So, Mike, if you were to just let something like this go, what would be the long term prognosis?
Well, it could turn into arthritis. It could cause chronic pain. You just want to make sure that you take care of it, especially if you don't get an X-ray, you really don't know whether it's displaced or not, and it's not the right thing to do. Knowledge is power. And so when you have the knowledge that there is a fracture there, then you take care of it. Now, what is he going to do? He'll probably either brace it or put it in a cast or something like that. But the issue then is you take care of it and you do the right thing so you don't end up having arthritis down the road or worse, chronic pain. That's what you want to avoid.
Okay. All right.
This is the potential for a very touching, inspiring story of a man who comes back from his finger.
From a finger fracture.
Yes. Finger blaster.
Finger blaster. It was his wife's favorite finger.
Yeah. Something's missing in our relationship. I can't get my finger to work.
All right.
And then a young therapist comes in. Yeah. I am Catherine Romano. I know all about finger blasting.
So that's sage advice
from
the man,
Dr. Mike. Yeah.
Dr. Mike, thank you, sir. We love you. You know that.
Listen, this is why I'm always they're always watching me at the university.
Well, we get you in trouble, but you get yourself in trouble. That's why we get along so well.
Never know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Be safe.
All right. Love you. Love you.
Love you.
Love you. All right. Hang on a second here. David wants to comment. Hi, David. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Excellent. So, am I reading correctly? You pretty much have the same thing as me?
Dude, I just got off night shift at Jefferson Hospital, hopped in the car, and heard you talking about this, and I was like, it was like deja vu.
How long has it been bothering you?
About 2 weeks now.
Yeah, okay.
And you... Go ahead.
All right, same thing. So, index finger, and it's popping.
Left index finger, when I bend it, it pops. It hurts. It doesn't look swollen.
Yeah,
I went to my chiropractor the other day and told him about it. He yanked it. It popped.
Dr. Mike, did you just passed out when you said that?
chiropractor.
Yank my finger.
Dude. It felt like it was swollen, but it didn't. It doesn't look like it. That's the way it feels to me. And so, sure enough, you should go get an X-ray, dude.
Well, now I'm going to. So, and I'm going to take care of a couple other things that have been bothering me. I got a big toe that's half numb, and so I figured maybe two for one on the X-ray.
Yeah. All right. Good luck, David. Thanks, man.
Thanks, brother.
All right, we'll see you. Listen, several years ago, I finally decided if something's bothering me, go to the damn doctor. I used to put it off. This one I put off. This is unlike me. I haven't done that in a while. And I should have gone a week ago.
Yeah. I've been having some problems with my shoulder/chest area that I'm like, I'm not going to go to the doctor because I think it's just a direct result of me having a daily football catch with my son.
Yeah, it might be.
You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if this is like more severe than it you know maybe feels like, but what I really wanted to ask was at what point did, because I remember when I was a kid, when I, because I broke a couple of bones, I went to my doctor, and in the basement of my doctor's office they had an X-ray machine, and they don't do that anymore.
Right,
there's only like one place that I can think of that in, let's say, in even the last decade that they actually had an X-ray machine in the office. Now they have to order you one.
Or you go out, right?
You have to go to a radiology place to get an X-ray.
Right.
And that's the part of it that's like the pain in the ass. I'm like, it used to be so easy.
Fun.
No, not fun, but it was easy. You just went to one place.
Right.
They go, okay, we're going to have to take you for an X-ray. Go downstairs, get the X-ray. Okay, it's broken. Let's cast it up. And now you got like three different trips.
I know.
And that's what sucks.
It's a pain in the ass because now there's full radiology departments.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that's where you got to go. And
that's why I do love the Penn setup, is that you're kind of within the same area there. But I mean, still, you know, it's like it eats up a good chunk of your day. But listen, you could have had you don't want to have arthritis because this injury becomes something more profound, as Dr. Mike was saying, you know, and it's your wife's favorite finger. We know that.
I know. I got to save it. So anyway, it'll
you
be
put a little next. Tuxedo on it when it's all healed, Preston.
But I just thought it was weird that I don't know how it happened.
Who wants to have some fun?
Maybe it's the dementia thing, Kathy. Maybe that's we're talking about.
Do you call it Tony, Preston?
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah, right.
Your wife really wants some.
From The Shining.
Your early onset of dementia, yeah.
Well, Kathy has a story to share as well, and it has to do with wearing a mask.
Yeah.
What happened?
So, Marissa, Casey, and I were having a discussion about, like, masks and them getting dirty and it just being, like, just, you know, some of it being disgusting. You got to wash them, all that kind of stuff. And so this happened a little while ago, but I... that just made me think of it when we had that conversation yesterday. So I was at a restaurant and I had had a couple glasses of wine and I went to use the restroom. And in using the restroom, I, you know, women don't sit. They hover. There's a whole, you know, process when you go into the bathroom. And my...
Are you okay, ma'am?
Oh, are we going to do that, the whole story? Or and so my mask was hanging on one ear. Like, I didn't fully take it off and hold it in my hand.
Yeah.
Because you got to maneuver a few things. I was holding, like, you know, part of my shirt up, and then you got to reach for the toilet paper. You got to hover. Yeah. So it was hanging on the one side of my ear.
Oh, no. I know where this is going.
And it fell directly in the toilet.
In the toilet!
Yes. Now, listen.
Is this why you have this chain on it now?
I thought you were going to say on the ground.
No, no.
And I was going to say whatever, but the toilet?
In the toilet.
Even that would gross me out.
You think?
Yeah.
It was awful.
Had
it
you
was
made poopies?
Disgusting. No.
No big
deal. So, this was, like I said, this was a little while ago. I wasn't in Pennsylvania. I was in New York.
Worse.
There were different, but there were different restrictions. Like, you know, when you go into a place, like, a lot of places, like down at the Jersey Shore, when I went to a restaurant there, it was outside, but even just walking to your table, they stopped you and they're like, hey, you know, put your masks on.
Right.
Put your mask on. Okay. So I, like, I was nervous. Now I'm stuck in the bathroom. So I'm like, well, what do I do? I had a shirt on that I could not put up over my face because...
You get under cut?
So it was low cut, and had I pulled it up, then like my stomach would have been hanging out. Like, it just was not... Everything was not... Nothing was going my way.
Yeah. Kathy would come out looking like she's doing the dance of the seven veils with this over her face and her entire
midriff. We'll meet later at the Casbah.
Now... The more I think about it, and as I thought about it in the past, couple of months since it's happened, my reaction was not what should have been done.
What was your reaction?
Well, I should have just walked to the table from the bathroom. I mean, listen, I get it. Yes, we have to wear masks, and I do wear my mask everywhere. But, like, there was... it was in the toilet. There was piss on it. I can't put that back on. Except I did.
Get out of here.
What? I was so nervous to walk. I don't know why. Like, it's not like somebody's going to, like, sniper shoot me because I have no freaking mask on.
But was it already wet? Let me ask you. Was the mask... It was wet.
Why would it have been wet?
You dropped it in the toilet.
Oh, yeah, after I dropped it. Sure, of course.
Okay, so... Did you then wash it?
So I took it out of the toilet, so now my hand had to go in the toilet. Now, mind you.
You shouldn't have used your hands. You should have grabbed it with your teeth.
It was seriously. Well, and this is all like coronavirus, our life now. So, of course, everywhere I go, I think I'm going to get it. And now I've got to stick my hand in a freaking public toilet and pull out my mask.
Kathy reaching into the toilet. Oh, my God.
No, I think that those, Preston, I think those were actually the words coming out of my mouth. So I washed it as best I could with the hand soap in the bathroom.
Right. Okay.
And, so I was in there a while, and then I, like, wrung it out, and I was like,
Was there an electric hand dryer?
Yes, there was
an electric. So you could dry it with that?
Like, a little bit, but it was, like, one of those ones that was, like...
It wasn't a Dyson. It was,
Wait, were you wearing a bra?
Yes.
Could you have fashioned a face mask out of the bra?
I always wear a bra. Steve, listen, I had a couple glasses of wine. And I was like, you can't. So I'm stuck in this bathroom. I'm like, you can't leave.
It's horrible.
Until you can put the mask back on.
It's horrible.
And I did. I stood there for a little while and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. Like, maybe I'll just make a run for it.
But
like,
you did it.
And I put the mask on, and I went back to the table. Oh, my God.
I'm surprised you're still alive.
I'm really surprised I'm still alive.
So I have, around the stick shift of my car, I have three masks. So I have a backup. This is nothing like your case, but I went into Primo. Now because it's the winter, you're putting on a thing on your head. You put maybe a scarf. Assembling your uniform. You're going out in inclement weather, and I forgot the mask. So I go walking into Primo, and I'm like, I'm pulling up the shirt, and I'm like, and fortunately they had a mask they could give me there.
So, did you have your phone with you in the bathroom?
No, I don't. I didn't have anything with me. Like,
I was going to say that you could have called whoever you were with and said, "Bring me a mask."
I'd like to hire a hitman to kill me right now. Could you come to the bathroom? and shoot me in the head.
Of all the people this to happen to.
Right?
Yeah. It would have been great, though, Kathy, if you had had raging diarrhea.
No, it was nothing like that. I mean,
that would be a story. That would be a better movie than your finger movie.
And they were out of toilet paper.
Yes.
So she would have had no choice but to use the mask.
Oh, my God.
So I guess here's what you might have been able to do, and this is hindsight.
I just gave myself a dirty Sanchez.
Kathy is taking some toilet paper, and as you walk out, hold it over your face.
I'm sure there were
And then go to the maitre d' or whoever and ask if there was a, you know, if they had any disposable masks or something like that.
Preston, there were many other options that could have, you know, taken place.
But they've got everyone so wound up with this.
That's what I mean. I was nervous, and I was like, I'm in New York. Like, what are the rules here? Like,
do you know what
I mean? And, like, things had just gone into effect, and oh, my God. So
the truth of the matter is an occasional lapse is not, you know, not good. So, I mean, did you have to slap a piss-soaked mask on your face?
Could I have just walked through the restaurant to my table and been like, I'm so sorry.
Holding your mask.
There's piss all over
You could have even held the mask off your face and
or,
said,
like, my arm.
Can you help me out? Yeah. I dropped this in the toilet.
Exactly.
So many other options.
Yeah.
Oh, could you help me out with that steak knife? Could you plunge it into my throat nine times?
Unless you're standing there going, this is America and you're going to make me do this.
It's not going to be that big of a deal.
So, no, I know that's not what it was, but I think people are understanding if you just come up and say, look, I dropped my mask in the crapper.
Yeah. Seriously. Mm-hmm. But I was so nervous and I didn't know what to do. And oh my God.
Funny.
And so I don't like to think about it. So I think that's why I originally didn't bring it up to you guys. Yeah. And then I had this conversation.
But we handled it thoughtfully.
Yeah, right. You guys helped a lot.
Only one or two diarrhea mentions. How long before you got home or after you got home did you take a shower?
Oh, yeah. No, shower and, like, that mask.
You must have ran your chin across a wood plane.
Like, I could have washed it, but I was like, no, this is forever.
You just threw it away.
Gone. This needs to go in the trash.
By the way, it's the thing with the mask, like, if sometimes you don't realize, you know, like, you've eaten something and then you put the mask back on and you're like, oh, my God. I can smell, you know.
And
I hate that. So I will take a little like cologne or something, or a little Febreze or something, just to freshen it up.
I was outside at a fire pit, and the next day I put the mask on to come here to work, and I don't put it on until I get to the front door, and I was like, oh my God, this is so strong. Like the smell was giving me a headache.
It's horrible.
Several times I've been at like Wawa and making up a cup of coffee and I mix in, you know, creamer and a little bit of milk and stir it up and then I take it up to the milk.
Oh, yeah.
I
love that.
And I've actually spilled some on my mask.
Yes. You idiot. So I always put a straw in like a little the little stir stick straw.
Yeah.
And it bink and it bends on my mask.
Kath, in our conversation yesterday that I guess sparked this memory for you, we were talking about sneezing into your mask. I had to sneeze into my mask 3 times yesterday after, and that I think might be the first time that I actually had to sneeze while wearing the mask.
Was it the rapid fire sneezes that you have, like 3 in a row?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, they were essentially it was like 9 sneezes. So it was 3.
Oh, wow.
Three sets of three sneezes.
I'm good at math.
You are. But we were talking about whether or not you take your mask off to sneeze, which makes.
If you're outside,
counterproductive. I was inside when I did it, so I had no choice.
I don't know. Who the hell knows? Yeah. I'll tell people, like, sometimes it depends. You want to honor people's sensitivities.
And err on the side of caution.
And be respectful, and whatever your level of fear about all of this is.
Yeah.
And you try to do the right thing. Like, in here in the studio, I will go into the corner and elbow into the deal.
You can also, Case, if you want to, you know, pull your mask up and put your face down, you pull your shirt.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Your shirt collar up and sneeze into it because, I mean, while that's not a pretty thing to do either, at least it won't be caked on the mask that's sitting on your
head. I understand that if you piss all over your mask and then sneeze, it will stop any contagions from being released.
Well, I watched a guy. He was working a booth at the mall, and this is probably towards the end of the summer. He pulled his mask down to cough. I was like, what the frick are you doing? Like that guy, you're making no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, drop in the toilet first. That's what you got to do.
Oh,
wow,
man.
Kathy.
I know, pray for me.
I'm kind of proud of you for, you know, you could have done other things, but the fact that you did that
is bravery.
You know,
so
when there's a little wine involved, it's like it doesn't feel as bad.
Right, right.
You should have said your water broke.
And Steve, there were so many other options.
Just have bigger issues here. Forget the mask. Wow. This woman is just about to give birth.
You're hardly showing at all. All right. Anyhow, that's an interesting story. Thanks for sharing. We'll take a break, and we will be right back with the Bizarre File. Make sure you stay with us.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right. And this month's band is Kara Kara. Kara Kara, your Local Shots Artist of the Month. Check them out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks, Philly.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the Bizarre File is sponsored by Mulch Works of Aston, offering the highest quality mulch and topsoil that's manufactured on site. Delivery or pickup for residential and commercial markets. Visit mulchthis.com.
All right. This guy was okay. That's why this is funny.
Okay. I have to preface that.
A Staten Island man fell headfirst into his koi pond and got stuck there for a half hour.
Oh, my God.
Tuesday afternoon, while trying to clean out the front yard fish habitat. Natal Pizzolo, who is 85, and his wife, Joan, said that he floundered and fell into a drainage ditch at the bottom of the pond.
The fish were biting my nose.
He said, I was just doing some maintenance to the koi pond when I fell inside the hole. He had drained it. So,
right. Yeah. Right.
When first responders arrived at the house, they could see his feet sticking straight up in the air, according to an FDNY spokesperson. And he said, this isn't something that you see every day. The proverbial fish out of water said that he was stuck for nearly 30 minutes inside a small rock pond before he managed to call out and get the attention of Joan, who was inside the house at the time. She said, I heard a faint scream from outside.
Leave me alone.
She said she realized she hadn't seen her husband in a while.
I don't love you.
She rushed out to find Natalie trapped shoulder deep in the drain and dialed 911.
Are koi ponds routinely deep?
It depends. Like, I had a pond that could have housed koi at our old house, and it was only 2.5 feet deep, right? Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Firefighters were apparently very concerned about the possibility of him being partially submerged in water. He managed to drain the pond before falling in, and firefighters were able to pull him to safety. Members of Engine 160 arrived on the rescue real quick, Jones said. The pond itself is shallow and lined with rocks and decorative frog and turtle statues. The drainage ditch at its bottom is about 8 feet deep.
Oh, wow.
An 8 foot deep koi pond?
That's as deep as my swimming pool.
Yes.
That's pretty wild. So the drainage ditch is 8 feet deep. I don't know if it means the pond is as well.
He also keeps sharks in there.
He declined a trip to the hospital and said he suffered some bruises on his arms, which were bandaged up. An Idaho college student may have set a Guinness World Record when he traversed 100 meters of slip and slide in 10.4 seconds.
Wow.
Jeff Roper, a mechanical engineer from mechanical engineering major. Brigham University.
You said 100 meters?
Yeah. Used dirt trenches, painter's tarps, and a garden hose.
Man.
To create the long slip and slide course near his grandparents' home. Now, it was headed down an incline.
Casey's brow is furrowed. Are you thinking this is something you want to take on?
Well, this is something I wanted to do like a couple of years ago.
We were
ago,
talking
man.
About trying our own thing.
Yeah, because they were supposed to have the largest slip and slide in the city.
Yeah, and
then
fell
that
through.
Fell through.
I'm like, insurance.
Okay. Yeah.
I love slip and slides.
Witnesses, including the sheriff's office deputies, were on hand to watch as Roper reached a top speed of 32 miles an hour.
Whoa.
While sliding across the tarps.
Imagine sliding across the surface of something at 30 miles an hour.
You should see him at the end when he hits.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. It's, dude, yeah, he hits pretty hard.
That's like Action Park stuff.
Yeah. So Roper traversed 100 meters or 328 feet in 10.4 seconds. A student said he submitted evidence from the attempt to Guinness World Records and expects to hear by late January whether his feat was accepted or not.
It should be.
Do you think they soaped it down, or was it just water?
Soap would probably be a main element,
that's
right?
That's a good question.
Because a lot of times soap is a key element when you just have a regular backyard slip and slide.
Yep.
They suggest you put some dish soap on it.
Yep, you are correct. I think we could get Casey to break some kind of world record. We need it. We need to
absolutely
do that at some point.
But how about longest free fall without a cushion?
I like that.
You can do it. As two deputies were responding to a pedestrian versus vehicle crash, the sheriff's office said that they ran over the same pedestrian who was already dead.
Oh, my God.
The incident happened around 4 a.m. on Sunday. Officials said a 27-year-old Orlando man walked into Hillsborough Avenue or onto it and was struck by a 41-year-old woman driving east. The woman reported the crash and is cooperating with authorities. As two deputies responded to the crash, both of them hit the same pedestrian still lying in the middle of the road.
At this point, the pedestrian was dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Florida Highway Patrol said the pedestrian had already been killed in the first collision.
Come on, man.
Yeah, he was already dead.
Yeah, yeah.
The two deputies...
You can just tell.
The two deputies, 24 and 25 years old, have been with the department since January and May of 2019, and they will conduct the crash investigation, the department will, on this. The Danish government has ordered mink farms to cull over 1 million animals.
Oh, my God.
Due to reported outbreaks of coronavirus among the species prized for its fur.
A mink can carry coronavirus?
I guess that's the case. The outbreak among the mink population was detected in late June after a COVID-19 patient was linked to a mink farm in North Jutland.
North Jutland.
As of this month, mink on around 60 farms in North Jutland have tested positive for coronavirus. And in addition, 46 farms are under suspicion.
Can't they give them masks?
The Danish Minister of Food, Mogens Jensen, had said... he said, we have continuously launched initiatives to manage and contain the spread of infection. In view of the recent large increase, we must unfortunately state that it has not been sufficient to prevent continued spread of infection among the North Jutland mink herd.
So how big is the herd? Do they give any indication?
It says over 1 million.
Okay, so I wonder what the full size of the herd is.
I don't know.
If the order 50 million.
The order mandates that mink farms within 5 miles of the farm or herd that is confirmed or suspected to be infected with the coronavirus must be culled.
Jesus.
That's
if I were the chinchillas, I'd be nervous.
Yeah. All right, and then one last story. Police say they summoned 45-year-old James Kempf for assault after he allegedly struck another man on Monday afternoon. Now, Kempf was walking by the alleged victim, a 52-year-old man, who Kempf told police barked at him. Exactly. Kempf allegedly walked up to the man and slapped him in the face. Kempf was issued a summons.
Down, boy! Down!
That's an old man.
It's an old man. An old Australian man.
Yep. He's described.
Stop it!
That's an old Australian man in an interview.
Describing a dog.
Dog attack.
Attack. It was, we should see if you have that full audio so we can refresh the audience. Kempf was issued a summons charging him with assault and a $2,000 fine. Misdemeanor is punishable by up to 6 months incarceration and a $1,000 fine. Police did not divulge why the man was barking or why...
I can't believe I actually found it because it's labeled Hansen, crazy dog.
Hansen allegedly responded in the way he did. All right, we have it?
Yeah.
All right, this was it.
Now, yesterday morning, I came out into the front yard, and the dogs were across the road. And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over. And I just made it into the front door.
Oh my God.
But the funny part is his wife is standing next to him. And when he goes into that,
yeah,
he starts spasming wildly.
And leaning in, and she's looking at him like,
yeah,
hey, you're an idiot.
Now, yesterday morning, I came out into the front yard, and the dogs were across the road. And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over. And I just made it into the front door.
What that's from.
He could have just said they came at me barking furiously.
No, yeah,
he had to recreate it.
He
emphasized. Yeah, might be time to consider a divorce.
Yeah. All right. There you go. That's your bizarre file. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's lesson question time and trash and music news. We'll see how you do. Stay with us. Hey, just in the past week, we have had an in-depth and light Zoom with the amazing Ken Burns. Our buddy Kate Flannery, Meredith from The Office, played the piano for us. We hung out with Michael and Kevin Bacon, the Bacon Brothers. I spoke to one of my idols, Alex Lifeson of Rush. Pete Holmes made us laugh. We met the newest member of the Jackie Bam Bam fan club. That would be Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. And Mark Wahlberg was in our studio. All those moments are posted now on PrestonandSteve.com. You know, we were off last week,
yes.
So when we return, there's always some stories here and there, some things that happened during time off, and we're dying to hear this one from Kathy Romano.
So sad.
It's not a good one. And,
no.
And in fact, it's Kathy terrible. Used the word on our call last night, traumatized.
I still am. I'm having nightmares about it.
Okay.
Let me explain and why it's so sad and difficult for me. So I was fully 100% attacked by my cat.
What?
Yeah. Like, had this attack been a dog, the dog would have had been put down.
Okay.
Yes. So, do you guys remember last Sunday, the first weekend we were on vacation, there was a storm that came through, and there were, like, 70-mile-per-hour winds.
Yeah.
So, it happened out of nowhere. Like, I knew it was coming. They kept saying high winds, all of that. But it was a nice day. I had my screen door open. I had all my windows open. And I was sitting there watching TV. Cat was sitting on my lap. And all of a sudden, the wind came. And I have a window ledge with all plants on it. All of the plants fell off. And so I jump up.
Did it fall into the house or out?
Into the house. Yeah, it fell in. And, you know, dirt all over the place.
Right,
and the cat, you know, gets freaked out and jumps off of me. And I yell, and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me, because all the plants fell everywhere. There's now a big mess. So I go over to the door. I shut the door. I close the two windows where the mess is, and I walk away from the mess. I'm like, I'll get to it, because all the other windows in the house were open. So I go into the living room to start closing the windows, and I shut the first window, and I feel like scratches on my leg. And I turn around, and it's her. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I kick her away, and she doesn't go away. So now she, and I see her, all her hair is up. Her eyes looked so strange. They were there. There was no color to them. The pupil of the eye was
huge,
huge,
taking
both
in
eyes.
As much light as they can. They're ready to attack.
It was very scary. And I was like, oh my God. And so she doesn't like loud noises. She doesn't like loud people. If somebody comes over and they're loud, she hides. So I know that this is what it was. It was probably the plants falling. It was me yelling at the plants. It was all of that. But when I shooed her, she didn't go anywhere. She came back at me. She latched onto my leg. She bit my leg, scratched me. Again, I get her off, and now I don't know what to do, because she's not going away. So I start walking over towards a little love seat that I have, which has another window that needs to be shut. I'm thinking, you're going to go away now. Nope, she jumps back on me. So four times she's latched onto my leg, biting through my pants into my skin.
Whoa, my God.
I don't know what to do. So I jump up on the couch in the corner of the room, and I'm away from her. I'm turned away from her because I don't want her to jump up like on top
of my face.
So now I can't see anything. I'm kind of trying to look out of the corner of my eye. She's still there, like ready to pounce on me. She's not moving away. I take the big, huge pillow from the couch and throw it at her. And I'm still thinking in my head, like, I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to like punt her across the room. She's little,
Is she a kitten?
They're three.
Just a young cat. Okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, right. The other cat, by the way, is just sitting there, like, staring at me, like,
eating
nothing's
popcorn.
Wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, like, nothing is wrong at all. I'm like, can you help? Can you get her? So I'm screaming. I'm screaming in the corner, crying, like, whole thing. And when it was over, I was so sad. She's the one that will snuggle up with me in bed. She wakes me up in the morning. She'll get, like, right in my face. Her little wet nose wakes me up. Like, she's so sweet. And up until that happened, I would have never thought twice about her hurting anybody or her around kids or anything like that. She, like I said, she gets spooked. If there's loud noises, she'll hide. But, like, she's never scratched anybody. She's, like, nothing. And this was a full-on attack. I read up on it, but apparently, like, 50% of cat bites will get infected.
Yes. Right.
So now
cat scratch fever is a real thing.
Okay, so now my leg is infected in two spots.
Wow.
Really?
Yep. Dr. Mike's like, you have to go on this specific medicine, which makes me sick.
Yeah.
So now I'm on medicine that makes me feel terrible. And, yeah, and I...
A lot of people don't know that Ted Ninja was a veterinarian.
Yes, like, I really was traumatized by this. Like, this thing that I love
that you love
and I
dearly.
Take care of every single day. Like, I couldn't believe that she... I felt like being like, it's me. What are you doing? It's
right.
me.
Just remember, again, with their... I have nine... I've had many cats. I've had very aggressive cats that we've been fostering. They are ultimately animals, and they react in ways. There are animals that freak the hell out during lightning storms and things of that nature, where they used to have neighbors down the road who had a dog who would basically, like, try to attack them. It would become so terrified of lightning and thunder that they had to, like, close it in a room because it became so aggressive. The cat's response, like, you did the CSI on it. It's true. All that noise probably... sent the cat into a state of panic, but it's hard to think this little cuddle bug of yours could get that way. But that's
and if you would see the bite marks, I mean, like the scratch marks where I could get away with that. There's scratch marks.
This is I have a long cut down my arm. This is just from my cat jumping off my arm.
Yeah, so like I have those all down my leg, the scratch marks, but the bite marks, like she went into my skin four different times.
And you didn't punch her at all.
I gave her, like, the first time I gave her a little kick to, like, shoo her. In no way did it hurt her at all, but...
You're just brushing her away.
But she, like, that was also what was so weird about it, was that I couldn't shoo her. For somebody that is, like, she is a scary cat, like, she'll hide. I'm like, why aren't you not running and hiding? Like,
I mean, she could have thought, in all that cacophony that occurred, when it occurred, she could have thought that you were attacking. And so in her, it's a cat. It's an animal. There's a fight or flight. So she may have passed that fight or flight, and now it became, I've got to fight to live. And you were the object. You were the aggressor. And so she goes, there's classic footage of a guy talking about Pet Adoption Week. I think it's a deputy. And he's
got the cat.
And the cat does exactly what you're talking about. Up the inside of the leg, biting
his balls.
On his leash. And the cat. I mean, that's the way they get if they're scared crapless.
I feel so bad for you. I was on the phone with Dr. Mike, and he's like, are you crying? And I was like, yes. And he's like, over the cat? And I was like, well, this is just like the icing on the cake. Like, this is my animal, this thing that I take care of. But you're right, Steve. Like, I know it was me that yelled.
Yeah.
That it was the wind. It was all of the stuff crashing down. And then it was me yelling that I guess she looked at me as the aggressor.
Are you guys cool now? Like, did the cat ever...
Yeah. Well, she hid for the rest of the night, and then Jason and I went away for 3 days, so we weren't home, and when we came back, and I don't know, it's probably in my head, but I'm like, she's not, like, she's coming over to me, but she's not doing her, like, super sweet, like, it's almost like she knows.
Yeah.
And she's like, I need to ease back into this. But it was weird.
Would have been better if you came home and she'd prepared dinner?
Something. Yeah. My God. Learned how to scoop her own litter or something.
Look, I bought you some succulents.
But she looked possessed.
When you see cats go at it, you know, when they're, I've seen my share. I had a cat that was, she was pregnant. No, she had just had kittens. She was defending her kittens. I was coming in. We were fostering this animal and her kittens to try to get them to a safe place, in, you know, down the road so the kittens could be self-sustaining and the mom could be adopted. I literally, Kathy, had to go in with, like, long pants, a winter coat, and I was wearing welding gloves.
Yeah.
And I had, like a mask, because I would have to just grab the cat, hold it out like I was holding uranium away from my body. It was the only way to get anything done.
We got a number of calls coming in, but first we got to go to the good doctor, Kathy, because he wants to address it. So, from Fox 29 and Penn Medicine, Dr. Mike Sirigliano is online. Hey, Dr. Mike.
Kathy,
yes.
What were you supposed to do?
No, it was. I know what you're going to say. It wasn't what I was supposed to do. You said you can call me tomorrow morning.
No, I said you will call.
I hate calling Dr. Mike on the weekends because I feel like...
Oh, my God.
I know, but he works hard all week long.
No.
And
excuse me. Does disease care that it's a holiday?
I know.
It doesn't care.
Well, so I would have called you if it was worse or I didn't think it was getting better.
You're killing me.
He was literally yelling at me. He's like, you need to go to the ER. If this gets worse, you're going to the ER.
Oh, my God. You never... So how are you? Are you getting better?
Yes, I think that it's getting better. My leg doesn't feel like it's going to fall
off.
It's
not going to fly with Dr. Mike. Think doesn't fly.
Well, oh, my God. All right. Well, after the show, you're going to call me, right, and you're going to make sure that we're on the same page here.
Take some pictures
of it.
Because
cat bites can be very serious.
Yeah.
And you're taking the medicine I gave you, right, which is Augmentin, amoxicillin, clavulinic acid. That is a broad-spectrum antibiotic that is very important for animal bites because of its wide-spectrum treatment. That's the important thing.
So all it makes me feel terrible, and Dr. Mike knows that, and he's like, you got to suck it up. Like, you have to just take it.
I mean, there are other options, but that's the one that we really want to use. And look, call me later. When I heard, you know, I'm already with patients, but I'm hearing you, and you're killing me.
Just take his advice and learn. And Dr. Mike, anything else you should do? Should she stop doing
with tuna? Well, I told her to use HibiCleanse, which is an antibacterial soap to use with some warm water mixed 50-50 to kind of just make sure that we cleanse the area. But, I mean, this is something you cannot take lightly because it can be very, very serious.
It's true.
Yeah,
that soap that he's talking about, I mean, it's like, it's no joke.
Some people will use, remember, I used to know this woman, and Dr. Mike, perhaps you can verify this. She would use like clinical medical grade disinfectant soap.
That's what this stuff is,
like,
I think.
Like that was her regular soap, and it ended up screwing things up.
No, you don't want to do new. Yeah. New.
Okay.
You don't want to, especially the components like triclosan and stuff, you create antibiotic resistance. But in a case like this, you want to make sure and jump on this like the cat did. By the way, what did I tell you? Shall we tell you? Put the cat down.
He goes, get rid of it.
Steve. I love you, man, but, you know, I would have bit the cat. Cat bites me, I'm biting the cat.
I would punch it in the face.
It was so scary. And you think, like, this little thing, you can mm-hmm. handle it.
I've had a cat attached to my leg before, and, you know, grab him by the scruff to try and get him off there. It's like, this thing's not coming off.
Well,
you
run a twofold risk because their claws, as you know, curl.
Yeah.
So if you try to extract them that way, you're going to make it worse.
Steve, I always think of the old Looney Tunes. It's essentially just like a mini tornado with just a claw sticking out every now and then with claws, and you just throw it over there and it gets on somebody's.
So you recommend that Kathy put the cat down? Is that what you're saying? Because I disagree with that.
I'm kidding. Look, I love cats. I have a cat. The cat seems to love me most when it's getting fed. It gives me these eyes.
All right.
But
anyway,
I'm more into...
You're more into beasts,
yeah. They don't bother me. I don't bother them.
Kids you can just send away, right?
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Can't put your cat in military school. Yeah.
I'll call you.
I love you.
We love you. Dr. Mike Sirigliano.
Yeah, when animals go into attack mode, like... You can't, like... I just turned it off. I was like, I'm done with this.
Done with this.
I
love you.
It's hard. I mean, it's like, you know, I haven't been in a street fight, but like...
You've been in a cat fight.
I've been in a cat fight. Yeah. No, but they turn into something different, and you're like, oh, how do I react to this? Like,
what you're doing is this. We're applying our human contextual way we approach aggression.
You can't
to an animal that thinks, I'm in this wonderfully clean home, and this
and
woman
this
now
mom.
Has become, is going to try to kill me. The woman I thought was my mother is now going to assassinate me. I've got to kill her first.
Yes. I gotta get her
and
first.
Steve, I was saying things. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me?
She's still yelling at me.
Well, and you're right, Casey. I thought about it. I was like, you were still making noise. You were continuing to freak her out.
So, okay. I have a question about this, but also there's no referee there, right? There, you know, so
no, there was a badger.
Was a badger? Oh, I didn't know.
Okay. In this corner.
But I wonder about this. If I smile at my dog, okay, I'm essentially showing my dog my teeth, and that from dog to dog is a sign of aggression.
This guy needs dental work.
I do. But please don't.
Do you think this is the act of smiling? No, that's something to consider. It depends. Animals read the things we display in different ways, obviously.
Right.
And there's something, but I think Kathy's layout case, glass breaking, the wind, screaming, door closing, she's up and moving around, and the cat's like, okay.
Oh, I got to kill this thing.
It's go time.
Yes. I want to go to some calls here. I'm going to go to Anna. Hey, Anna, good morning.
Good morning, It.
Hey, good morning, It, to you. What's up, Anna?
Oh, man, my sweetest cat, ran away when I got a puppy for like 2 days. I saw her outside, ran to get her. I'm like, oh, come on in, baby, it's okay. She honks down on my hand with her teeth and for dear life. And I'm like, oh, God. So I do alcohol on it. I do hydrogen peroxide. I went to the urgent care. I got antibiotics that night. It was hot, swollen, and a red line went up my arm.
Whoa. Yeah, there you go.
Red
line.
That's the infection. You're having an infection.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can't scratch fever, baby.
Ooh. Yep. And I knocked on my daughter's door. I go, I'm going to go to the hospital. I'll call you in the morning. Because she's, 17 at this point. So I was in the hospital 2.5 days. They had to change antibiotics.
Wow. So
2.5 days.
What were you clinically diagnosed with?
Cat scratch fever.
Cat scratch fever, yeah. And that's it. The doctors that handle that tend to be more rocking. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So hot.
You got cat scratch fever, baby!
Wow. Anna, did the cat end up coming home as a pet?
Oh,
after
yes.
Okay, so she
the sweetest thing in the world.
Okay.
Like, she just was scared to death of the new puppy and just decided, I'm just gonna bite mom.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Like 2 days, man. Thanks, Anna.
The redness that when you know it's turning into an infection, like it was so weird and nasty. It got beet red. It was hot. It was itchy. And mine was like, it started to form, like it almost felt like there were like rocks in there. Like it was hard.
Pus?
It was disgusting.
What it tastes like.
If you work at a vet's office, is this a daily occurrence? You know, that like, do you have to deal with angry cats cat scratch fever?
They wear those gloves. Those gloves are no joke.
Yeah. So the cat that did this, it's Hubert. He's a big, lovable lug, and I have a big, long line I'm describing on, because you can't see it on the radio, but it's about 3 inches. He was just rolling off, and then just to stabilize himself as I was holding him, his nail caught, and that was just passively sliding across my arm.
By the way, I think that when we return from vacation, we should share our scars with each other.
Yes.
Because I got a nasty one from my, I don't know if you can see that.
I can. There's a big bruise on your elbow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, these are the cuts.
That was a mountain lion,
your
right?
Your forehead healed up nicely, but that was pre-vacation scar.
Yeah. But there are three of us that returned from vacation with scars. Yeah. I think we should definitely compare those. I'll explain this later on what happened to me, but... Let me go to Robin. Hi, Robin. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
Great, Robin. What's up?
Well, funny cat story. I've had cats all my life, kind of like Steve. I'm a cat lady.
Yep.
It was the morning after I have an attack cat, pretty much. And I was trying to
let my friend sneak out, shielding her between me and the cat. He bit me. And I've got bit before, but this was like full teeth sinkage.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it wasn't healing up. A couple days later, my friend's wedding was next week. I'm like, I'll go to the doctor the week after. Go to the doctor. She takes a look at it. She's like, oh. Walks out the room, goes get another doctor. She's like, you see all that? That's dead tissue. You need to go to a plastic surgeon.
I'm like, what? You had to go to a plastic surgeon? Wow. Oh, so
you had like necrotized?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a circle, and it just kept getting bigger. I'm like, why is this stuff all yellow? And I was like, why isn't this thing healing?
Well, Robin, how extensive was that plastic surgery?
Well, luckily it didn't get really big. It was probably the size of a dime, but he was like, yeah, you see all that? We're going to dig all that out.
Now, look, why after, and this, Robin, you can test it, you get a scratch, you get anything, a bite, even something that seems benign, just remember that the cat has been also walking around in cat box and you know, that sort of, there are things on the nails that can infect. Make sure you clean out any sort of scratch or wound immediately.
Robin, do you have a scar from that now?
Oh, yeah, scar's still there. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Jesus. All right. Thanks for the heads up.
But I love my cat.
Yes.
I'm sure you do.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Let me go to, okay, we have a vet tech on the line. It's Alex. Hi, Alex. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, so cat scratch fever, you're very familiar with it, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's totally, real. I mean, we deal with freedom cats, as we call them, so our little feral friends all the time. And, like, you do not want to get bit by one of those just because a cat bite is so much worse than a dog bite.
Wow.
So much worse.
Does anybody at work ever get sick from that?
I mean, yes, actually. Recently, one of our doctors had to get on IV antibiotics because he got bit by one of our freedom cats. But when you're working with them constantly, you do have to, use a lot of protection. So cat gloves, got cat muzzles, just because you really don't want to risk getting bit by one of those guys.
Now, and Nick was asking, is that a daily, thing that can happen? You know, at least they try to bite or scratch you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's a feral cat, I mean, fight or flight is their only...
Even domesticated cats, I'm sure, the issues, yeah.
Yeah, in this case, so would you say, with your experience, Alex, that Kathy just had the perfect storm of the worst stuff that could happen in a cat's mind and saw her as a potential attacker?
I'm sorry, Kathy. Your cat probably thought you were trying to kill her.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's just scary. Like, you know, like I said, I was looking at her like, no, it's me. What are you doing? Stop it.
The cat's probably only ever seen that kind of reaction if Kathy had to pay shipping. And it probably had to freak her out.
You know what's wild about vets is when you take your pets, or at least in my experience has been, when you take your pets and the vet is, you know, doing a check on them and handling parts of their bodies where I'm like, my cat wouldn't even let me do that. And you're doing it so confidently they're just letting you do that.
Yeah.
There's some kind of connection going on there. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And I also think that one of the biggest tools that we have in vet medicine is knowing the signs of aggression, because it's never just let's start fighting. That's
not
the reaction,
It's like with humans. It depends. If you go up to a stranger and you insert your finger rectally, it depends on how you do it.
Right.
Stop.
Some might be okay with that.
Alex, what should I have done? Like, if it ever happens again, what am I supposed to do?
So I don't know in your situation that just happened to you if there's really anything you could have done to prevent that. You know, I mean, once the cat is in attack mode, it's in attack mode. But I think, backing away, not making eye contact definitely helped you out a little bit. Even though she was still there, obviously she stopped attacking you once you cornered yourself, I guess.
Okay.
All right, what about mid-attack? Kathy's got the cat attached to her leg, holding on, biting. What?
What do you do?
What do you do, man?
At that point, you do the scruff. We hate doing the scruff on cats, but if they are straight up attack mode, you got to do the scruff.
Yeah. Wait, what is that?
You grab them by the back of their neck, that skin, and it can kind of immobilize them. You know, they freeze up.
It can also, and you'll agree to this as well, Alex, if you do that and you pull up and they're dug in, it's
hard.
But you gotta
be tough.
Yeah. But when that happens also, that's sort of a maternal thing. They'll be carried like that when they're kittens. And does that calm them down as well to some extent?
So we don't like to go, you know, right off to scrubbing them just because if they're larger, yeah. they can actually cause some nerve damage. But if they're attacking, you scrub them and you hold them right down to the ground.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate the tips.
Yeah. Have a great day, guys.
You too. See ya. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, let me go to, this is interesting. I'm going to go to Blair. Hi, Blair, good morning to you.
Morning.
What's up, Blair?
So I had the same thing happen to me as Kathy's cat over a period of months. My cat would, like, get this crazed look in his eye. Like, he didn't even know who I was. Pupils blown. And a lot of times I would be actually in bed. And he would
terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, like, attack my shoulder, like, bite in, hold down. Like, I was so... Like, I didn't know what to do. I saw a number of behavioral specialists, and everybody advised me to put him down. He's still alive, and basically the end result was drugs. Like, he...
You're taking them.
I'm now
a heroin
regular,
so the bites don't hurt as much.
Yes.
No, but what? So they had to put him on drugs?
Yes, he's on two different kinds of drugs, and he is, like, he has always been the sweetest cat until, like, his little switch was flipped, you know, so.
Do the drugs involve, like, mood stabilizers or anything like that?
Yeah, it's basically,
like a seahorse party. Seahorses forever.
Little bags.
Just like that.
Look at my paw.
Sometimes they'll give cats Valium and things like that.
You know what? I've actually had, believe it or not, and there are subtleties. I actually had a cat behaviorist come over to the house. We had one issue where a cat was, you know, of nine. We had marking, and there are people who can help you adjust even the way the furniture's laid out and things in the house, and that where a cat can believe it has methods of egress where they can, you know, leave a room and they feel safer because of it. If you're going to make the investment in the animal, I get it. But I know it just breaks your heart, Blair, that you have this cat that you love and you go
absolutely.
Through this. Is it better now?
It is so much better.
Okay.
But I ended up, like, crunching the drugs up in his food. And every so often when he's not in the mood and he doesn't eat, I'm worried.
Mother, I want to F you.
Yeah.
This is the end.
Wow.
Thank my you. Beautiful friend.
Thank you, Blair.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I just crapped a message to you in my kitty box.
It spelled says, it out.
Fade into the light. Mother.
He is the Mouse King.
I love your succulents.
By the way, this text says...
I love your arts and crafts.
This text says, my nipples got darker when I got cat scratch fever. How are Kathy's?
Get the hell out of here.
I'd like to point out that every single call that came in was from a female. And I wonder if there's bizarrely a connection to that. I don't know. This is our own little sample here. Probably not at all. But
I think it's because you have guys know how to fight.
is that it?
You want a piece of me?
Let me go to, we have Kat on the line. Hey, right. Kat, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Kat?
Hi, I just wanted to, you know, have a little feeling circle here. That's probably why so many girls calling
in. Good. What's
up? All the ladies.
Because it is traumatizing. It can be the sweetest cat in the world. My cat did that when he got spooked. We got a new kitten. He was actually scared of the kitten.
Yeah.
and the kitten scared him, and then... I thought he was going to attack her, so I picked her up, and he started climbing up my leg, and then he bit into me, and I started screaming, and that makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
Cat, that's the classic scenario. I've had it dealing with all the charity work that my wife does and all the feral cats that we've had or cats that are, you know, that have psychological issues. And, man, it's like you have those moments where you're petty, hey, buddy, clamp.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's your natural reaction to do it, even though it's the worst thing, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. And so the scruff works. My husband heard me screaming, comes out running. It's early in the morning. He just picks the cat up by the neck and throws him in the other room.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's all you had to do? That was easy.
Wow. Yeah.
He's a cat.
But I went to work. I was like, oh, cat bites are aren't a thing. So I went to work, and then my pants started, like, bulging.
My legs
so started swelling up. They got so infected. So going to a doctor immediately was definitely a better option than just going to work.
And did you have to do a series of antibiotics, Kat?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, man. Okay.
It's heavy duty. It's sage advice to be aware. Any sort of scratch or any sort of bite, put some Neosporin in it, get it cleaned as quickly as you can.
But to what Kat had to say and Kathy, when your furry member of the family there shows their feral side, it's scary. Yeah. I've had it happen with both cats and dogs where it's like, you know, with a dog, you know, your pet dog will see something that's got it all excited and you can't. Where normally you can have a little discussion with your pet to them, and you don't even exist.
It goes to the animal.
They've gone boom to their animal instincts, and it freaks you out a little bit.
But the thing is, it's a natural part of that's why it kills me, Preston, when you get people who do get legitimate forest type feral creatures. If you realize what happened with a cat, you have a puma in your living room.
Yep, exactly.
Seriously, now they can just change on you that.
It's part of what it is, you know?
All right, interesting. Well, that was Kathy's vacation.
Yay!
Big break. Woo! We need to take a break. We'll come back in the Bizarre File. Stay put.
93.3 WMMR presents Concert Cash.
You could win $500.
Plus a pair of tickets to the MMRBQ May 21st.
Weekdays at 8 a.m., 10, and noon.
Then 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m.
Listen for the Concert Cash sounder.
When we'll give you a keyword.
Text it to 45911.
Or enter it on our website or app to get in the running for the $10,000 grand prize every time you play.
See official rules and details at WMMR.com. Free MMRBQ tickets and cash to blow at the show.
On merch, adult beverages, or whatever you want.
It's MMR's Concert Cash.
Sponsored by AAA Distributor on Grant Avenue. In stock kitchen, bath, and flooring products.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
You guys saw the super yacht?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Called Y721. Jeff Bezos has ordered this thing.
Yeah.
And apparently amongst the ostentatious world of super yachts, this one stands out.
Well, he is right now, right? Currently the wealthiest man on earth.
In the world, yep.
Yeah.
When completed, it will be 417 feet long. That's longer than a football field.
Yeah, that's an ocean liner.
It will span several decks and sport three enormous masts, according to the scant information that is available on the website of its manufacturer and various online bulletin boards of yachting enthusiasts. That will make it one of the largest sailing yachts ever built in the Netherlands, which is the unofficial capital of boat building for the extremely rich. I didn't know the Netherlands is where all this takes place.
I saw a video recently of one of these yachts. It might have been this one, but I'm not sure. It has to go through like canals to get out to where it's going. And it's relatively narrow canals through the Netherlands. But these, like you said, Stephen, ocean liner getting from where it was being built out into the ocean. It was insane.
Well, they've done like platforms for drilling and stuff like that, that they will navigate out. And there are people who are paid inordinate amounts of money to be basically the harbor master who navigates these things out. But this thing, Preston, so the cost, would you say the cost was on it?
It's in the $500 million dollars range.
Wow.
Yeah, upwards of $500 million. Mm-hmm. It is set to move to a new shipyard for completion next month.
So I love watching boat launches.
They're awesome.
They really
seem so basic too.
I know.
You're like throwing it in the water.
I mean, but you're making a $500 million yacht, and like there isn't a better way to launch this thing
into the water as opposed to push it.
You've ever seen, because this stuff is amazing, and there's tons of footage of it'll create a wave that'll splash up on the. It's pretty.
I crack up at the notion of the idiot who accidentally already stuffed the cupboards with all the fine china before they launched the boat.
Yes, because sometimes they send it in sideways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And it lists really far before it writes itself.
Why did you put the crystal in before you launched the boat?
Listen, this is so extravagant. I've never seen this term before. It will have its own support yacht.
Oh, my God.
Like, in other words, it's
a support
like
yacht.
Like a luggage plane that follows behind.
This isn't like a, it's not just a dinghy, little dinghy.
An escape thing. It's a subordinate yacht to the major yacht. Now, you remember Bill Gates had one that was all the envy for a while.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if he still has that.
I think Judge Judy has a pretty badass one.
She does,
I kid you not.
Helipad.
So this has a support yacht with a helipad. Its latest accessory, along with the Washington Post, the movies, the tabloid scandal, heralding the Amazon mogul's transformation from geeky technologist to globe-trotting mega-billionaire, according to this article. It's an indication of the enormity of a fortune that's accrued even faster as the world has been upended by a devastating pandemic. And also a testament to a fiercely secretive industry that by all accounts has thrived as a direct result of COVID-19, according to this article as well, and a stark embodiment of the widening chasm between the fortunes of the super rich and almost everyone else for the past 14 months. So they're saying that this is, it's built kind of like the swimming pools have caught up in the past year. The yachts are really starting to be ordered left and right.
So if you were to say who won COVID, it would be Jeff Bezos. His personal wealth went off. It was big, obviously big to begin with. But COVID was very good,
you're right,
the coronavirus, to Jeff Bezos. Now, is this a depiction of the yacht, Preston, using the sail system?
I don't know what this is.
Okay.
There's a photo of a picture.
Because they do have these kind of sails.
It's a photo of a yacht with three sails on it.
It's a photo of a picture of somebody's thoughts. No, it's Jeff Bezos reportedly built. Yeah, so that sail system, these new sails that they're doing, which are a little bit more rectangular and can be retracted, are pretty amazing.
I think this is his old one.
Is it?
Yeah. Because it says here,
loser!
His current yacht was recently listed for sale at $158 million. And that says 127 mil up
what
there.
What a piece of crap.
So he's going to make some money off the yacht. So.
That one ain't nothing compared to the Mamba that he's getting.
I think we could still, let's put a bid in.
According to Sam Tucker, head of Super Yacht Research at London-based Vessels Value.
Sam Tucker, Super Yacht.
He said the market has been roaring.
It's been roaring like a lion.
The number of transactions in recent quarters was record-breaking.
It's been extraordinary.
The secondhand market, he said, is absolutely red hot.
It's red hot, flaming hot.
If
yacht hot.
If
how hot is it?
Like a yacht. Drop it like it's yacht. It's my new slogan. Came up with it in the loo.
You're in the loo?
Absolutely.
What do they call bathrooms on boats? Anything different? No,
a head.
Head.
It's also a term in pornography. Same room, different outcomes.
If anything, demand for the extravagantly high-end yachts has outstripped supply. Tucker said it's impossible to get a slot in a new build yard.
It's absolutely impossible.
He said they are totally booked up.
It's getting yacht in here.
So take off all your clothes.
It's getting yacht in here. So deny your workers a union.
Let's see. The inland waterways of northern Germany, home to several highly regarded shipbuilders, are crammed with the city block sized steel hulls of future
yacht blooded. Check it and see. I've got a yacht that's 203 meters.
The city block sized steel hulls of future super yachts, as well as existing yachts, back for a spruce up.
I'll tell you what, one of the things that I've always enjoyed doing is going, we have had boats that were, we had like a 21 foot, you know, fishing boat.
Yeah, we had like a 20 footer.
Like in Northport, Long Island, that was in a slot at, you know, down at the dock. At the end of that dock was something that was like 75 feet long, and it was like a real, you know, I love checking out those.
Oh my God, yeah.
Those yachts and going like the boat show and stuff.
I've never been.
It gives you a chance to dream.
I've never been on a yacht or been, I mean, a personally owned superboat. I've seen them, you know, at various
yacht
marinas.
Yacht shows, marinas,
But never.
Hit me with your best yacht.
I have to stop and think about the song for a moment before I run into that.
You're a real rich cookie with a long history of wanting to purchase your yacht for me.
All right.
Okay. Yachts for teacher.
Yes, thank you.
Preston, you were in Newport, Rhode Island recently, and I went there last summer, and I saw, I believe, the biggest yacht that I've ever seen in my life. And it was, I took video of it. I couldn't fit all of the yacht in a, one picture. That's how long the thing was. And Newport has just FU money. I mean, it's got FU money to FU money. It's insane.
Yeah.
I would like to get a tour of one of those things, but then I would also just feel terrible.
Do you think, Kathy, just jumping in quickly, do you think the game is, again, I think this is probably the game, you know, because they say the greatest day is when you purchase that boat and when you, the second you sell it.
It's different for yachts.
But when you, Kathy, is it better to have, like, you have very wealthy friends? Is that the game? Is that the gambit? Like, you have people who invite you on your super yacht, but you don't have to deal with that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, I think if they have a yacht, they've probably got people to take care of it. It's not like they're doing anything.
Right.
They're just enjoying it.
Yep.
My wife. You see those yachts go in and out of Montauk when I'm up there. You see beautiful yachts, but the most beautiful one I saw, and it was huge. It was enormous. I don't know if it was the biggest one, but I remember we were in Portofino, Italy, and we were like, wow. We couldn't tell if it was like a cruise ship, like the people had gotten off, and we looked in the back, and there was a table with two chairs. And we were like, that's not a cruise ship. That's like somebody stopped here for like the day or the weekend or whatever it was. Yeah. And it was just, we saw them getting back on. It was a couple and they were just, it was just the two of them.
Did you yell, hey man, nice yacht?
Exactly.
This is a long intro.
So forget this one.
Okay.
Well, I said, hey man, nice yacht.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yacht legs. You got your sea legs, and then you got your
legs.
Yacht
legs. Check it and see. What are we going to go through the whole library?
I don't know.
That's a big.
You have to be a big yacht.
Yes,
Eden Joe.
By the way, there are about 50 boats longer than 100 meters that are currently under construction.
50.
Yeah.
Needless to say, so the staff, the crew of a vessel this big, do they give you an estimate of what it would take to run this in its proper way? I'm assuming you're looking at 40, 50 people, right?
It doesn't say in this particular article, Steve. I don't think it would be quite that big.
I don't
know. Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would love an idea.
You need a crew. Need a full crew.
Below Deck, that reality show, which is a terribly awful, but once you start watching it, you can't stop watching it. Reality show.
How many people?
Oh, well, it's a whole crew. I don't know if it's 40 or 50, but that's what that reality show is about. And they live below deck. They work below deck, hence the name. Part of the appeal on that show is that they are on these incredible yachts. They also go to unbelievably beautiful places.
We have somebody whose daughter works on a yacht as part of the crew. It's Dolores who's on the line. Hey, Dolores, good morning.
Good morning, it.
Hey, good morning, it. Dolores, your daughter works on a privately owned yacht?
Yes, she does, for a millionaire. He's a tech guy.
What's her job?
She is, her title is Head Stew.
Right.
She pretty much is like a maid. She'll make up the rooms when they're done. You know, when they leave the boat, she has to make sure everything's cleaned up. She does laundry. She serves. So she's kind of like a waitress. She bartends for him.
Okay. Dolores, does she live on board the yacht?
She does.
Okay. And how big is this yacht? Would you have any...
Yeah. Right now it's only 95 feet, which he wants to move up to a 130 footer. So he's looking to buy something bigger.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. So she lives below decks, right? I mean, there's, is she the only support staff outside the crew that's running the yacht, or how many people work on the yacht when it's running in normal conditions?
There are four right now. They have a chef, the captain, a deckhand, and then her.
Okay.
So she's the stew. Yep.
All right.
Wow. Where is the yacht based?
In Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, she loves it.
Mainly Caribbean jaunts in the boat?
Yep, Caribbean. Oh, she right now she's in St. Thomas. Sends me pictures every day. It's insane.
So when she's not working, is she basically on call all the time, or does she get time off to just enjoy the yacht itself?
Both. Yeah, she does. Right now, he left the boat, the owner, so they have the next 2 weeks off, and they're basically sailing the Caribbean back to Fort Lauderdale and partying. So, I mean, she's living the life.
That's awesome. No,
so
good for her.
So the staff can, like, enjoy it when they're not on the boat, on the ship.
Yeah, basically. They have, yep, she can, they can have, do whatever they want.
Dolores, does it pay well?
Yes, it does. She is making more than I do.
Wow.
How did she get that gig?
She landed in it because of COVID, actually. She went to school. She just graduated last year, college for tourism and hospitality. And there was no jobs really to be had because everything shut down. She wanted to work in a hotel. Yeah. And one of her professors said, well, you know, yachts are available. Why don't you look into that? And it went from there.
Do you know where she started looking? Or
Monster.yacht?
She actually applied Indeed on Indeed for a crew hand or crew or a deckhand.
Indeed, I don't know what Indeed is.
It's like a job posting site,
like Monster.com. Yeah. It's just a job.
Well, there you go. Great.
And just you. Yeah. And so I never thought of that. If you have some sort of skills, or if you've gone to school for the hospitality industry, that's an avenue for you to explore. Because, exactly. But it makes complete sense. Man, it sounds awesome.
She loves it. Yeah. Oh, I live vicariously through her. I love it.
Wow, that's right, cool.
Is the gentleman or the woman or whoever owns the ship or boat nice? Does she get along with them?
Actually, he is a very nice guy. He's a tech guy. He's only 32.
Oh, dear God.
And yeah, he treats her well and treats the crew very well.
Is he single?
He is.
Is your daughter single?
She is.
Tell her to, like, sneak in bed at one night.
Yeah.
Hey, do they have, like, a place where a radio station show could broadcast on that on that yacht?
Yes, let's talk.
Yeah, there's plenty of room on the deck.
Okay. Where is he from? Where is he originally from?
He's from California.
Okay, that's in the United States.
He doesn't know us.
No.
Wow, so...
But you do.
Wow, yeah. Wow. I'm sure he'd take that call.
Yep.
Have you ever been on the yacht?
I have not yet. She's invited me down a couple times, but I just can't get away from work right now, so we're dying to go down and see it.
Hey, Dolores, does your daughter have anything stipulated in maybe her contractual agreement where she can't, you know, post pictures on social media or anything along those lines?
She can't. She can't say who she works for, and she can't post any photos anything.
I'm sure that's probably a standard when you're at that level to make sure that you're keeping everything confidential. Yeah. Let me ask you something. On a yacht that large with this much money up for grabs, is there any sort of on-boat security that's there all the time?
Not on board, but they do have it on the docks, so they can call, and they've had to do that a couple times.
All right. It's probably from radio shows trying to get
on
board.
Seriously, it's not sweet. Yeah, right.
Wow, that's so cool, Dolores. Thank you so much for the story.
It really is. Okay, thanks.
All right, have a good one.
Take care. All right, we'll see you later.
You really yacht me. Yacht. You really got me yachting.
Nick pulled up. There's a band called the Yachtly Crew.
Yeah, Yacht
the
Rock.
The Titans of Soft Rock.
Yeah.
My friend Tim is in a band called the Yacht Rockers.
I love
back
Yacht
in
Rock.
St. Louis.
Yeah, if I ever get married again, I'm going to hire Yachtly Crew or your friend Tim's band because Yacht Rock is the best.
He goes by, he has a stage persona, and I'll have to find it. Hang on a second here. It's Thurston, something the other is his name.
Like Thurston Howell type of thing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that would, we need to get him on a real yacht.
Where yacht gonna take it?
Yes.
How about Eleanor Yachtby?
Eleanor Yachtby.
Early in the morning, rising to the street. Light me up that cigarette and I'll strap shoes on my feet.
What a yacht. Right?
There it is.
By the way, my buddy's Tim's name is Thurston Bay the Third.
Nice.
I love it. Wow, dude, that's just like I mean, that's fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
It really is. It's what you dream about, you know?
They're
the ultimate.
They're just exquisite. I mean, in every amenity you could possibly imagine, a lot of them have full gyms. I'm going to guess. I would love to see pictures. Are there any pictures or projected renderings of the inside of this?
Not this one. The project is called Y721, if anybody wants to look that up. It's a yacht, Y721. So maybe there's renderings. If so, they kept it pretty quiet for now. I'm going to go to Sandy, who's on the phone line. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Sandy.
Good. What's up, Sandy?
That's an S, Sandy.
Okay.
My nephew works on a yacht off the coast of France, and he actually just filmed Below Deck Caribbean. He was one of the cast members on the show.
Oh, no way.
That's pretty wild, Sandy. Any idea how many people are in the crew that he's a part of?
Well, when he's working, there's about 22 of them.
Okay.
But I don't know how many were in the filming.
Okay.
But he had to quarantine for 2 weeks in Miami, and then they started filming.
What's his job on the yacht?
I think it's the same thing that most of them are. You know, they clean toilets and make sure that everything is beautiful. They can't really be seen. He was actually, one of their members got COVID at the beginning of the pandemic. And their yacht was quarantined and not allowed to dock anywhere.
Right.
They were off the coast of Italy for 3 months.
Wow.
3 months. With no guests on. It was just the crew, and they weren't allowed to use any of the luxury facilities.
Oh man, that would suck. Okay,
that's not good.
Being stuck on a boat that long and you're not allowed to participate with or, you know, partake any of the amenities.
Shuffleboard.
That would suck. Wow.
Yeah.
How did they refit with supplies?
They had a little, I guess the dinghies bring them in from offshore. They were off the coast of Italy. He's actually based off the coast of France, but nobody would let the yacht dock because of the incident in COVID. So they were just stuck.
Wow. All right. And so he got back from all of that?
Yeah, he's back. After that, then he applied for film, being a member of Below Deck.
Yep.
So he filmed that, and he's just finished, and he left Miami about 2 weeks ago, and he's back in France.
So maybe we assume he's a good-looking guy?
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Okay. Yeah.
And does he like his job?
He does. He likes his job. He's very personable. My brother worked organization that was with the Olympics, so they've traveled all over the world. I think Fraser speaks probably 4 or 5 languages.
Mm. So, I speak one.
He's perfect for the job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sounds very accomplished.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. All right, thank you, Sandy. We appreciate it.
All right, take care.
That's pretty cool.
You know what Dolores' daughter needs to do? I keep thinking about her. So she can't have a relationship with the guy who she's working for.
Why not?
That's so good, because it's not going to work out. Because then she could lose her job if it doesn't work out. You want to keep your job.
Right.
What she needs to do is when they dock somewhere and he gets off and she needs to get off and go meet the other yacht people.
Sure. Pretend it's her yacht like they did. You ever see the movie Some Like It Hot? Pretend it's your own yacht.
No, but if she sees like someone else getting off another yacht, maybe go introduce yourself to them.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm going to hook Dolores' daughter up.
Can you imagine that?
Or what was, wasn't Jennifer Lopez like Made in Manhattan? Or, you know, she would work there, but pretended she wasn't. Go put on disguise or something like that. Or maybe they could go to like a masquerade ball. She could, you know.
She'd
love the yacht. Yachtarella. Snow yacht.
Yachtarella.
Beauty and the Yacht.
Sleeping Yachty.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Lion Yacht.
Sleeping Yachty.
Yeah.
The Little Yacht.
Finding Yacht.
Yeah. Mm. That story.
Royal Yachtsel.
Yachtel. Yentl, but with a yacht.
Yentl, but with a yacht.
Yachtel.
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 Yachtel. Yachtel.
Father, can you hear me?
Oh. Come on. Got a whole yacht of love.
Got a whole yacht of love. Damn. Love it.
You idiot! Baby, I'm not fooling.
Whole yacht of love.
Just real quick, going back to that Bill Gates one.
Wait. You yacht lucky, babe?
Right. Casey, you had asked about like fuel cells and stuff. The Bill Gates one that's still being under is still under construction is hydrogen powered.
Oh.
So it has these hydrogen fuel cells to power it. It's not diesel or nuclear or anything like that.
Wow. They fired up. Yeah, so this stuff's out of control, man. As far as the amount of these super yachts that are being constructed.
Super right yachts.
Now. We need to find a friend with a yacht.
Yeah.
Like a show friend.
We can't even.
I know. We can't,
get a fire truck.
Yeah. We can't even go to Disney.
We could get a fire truck. We could get somebody to give us a ride on a fire truck. All we want is a ride on a yacht.
Big whoop.
We got
no, I want to be friends
Bernie Perron's fishing boat.
Yeah.
That's about as close as
30 feet long. And yeah, got a Bernie. That'd be cool to hang out with Bernie.
It would be.
Hey, there's a guy who listens to the show who owns a tiki bar that floats in the bay at Ocean City.
Okay. I mean,
that's our speed.
That's it.
Yeah. I work below decks. Hey, there is no below deck. Oh, my God.
You're in the bay.
He's dying.
I wonder if someday I might get a boat. I don't know. We bought the shore house, and maybe a few years from now when we get used to that lifestyle of getting like a pontoon boat just to go out and cruise not in the ocean.
I think Steve's right. I think it'll be you'll enjoy the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
But I grew up with
did
a boat.
You? As
yeah,
did
yeah.
We.
We were we were water skiers.
You can do a boat share. You guys know they have boat shares, right? Yeah. Like you can just,
you leave your boat in the city and someone comes and gets it.
Well, no, they have boat shares in, I believe, Cape May has one, okay. But it is a, like you just sign out. And
so it's...
It's a fee you pay.
You
like
never own
fee.
It.
You never own it.
You own it, but maintenance will be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. All you have to do, I guess, is just you pay for the fee, the monthly fee, and then you got to pay for the fuel.
Does it come with a captain? Does somebody drive it?
You're supposed to drive it yourself.
No, you do it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just like a robotic captain.
Maybe in the bay.
Welcome.
I don't have any interest in getting out in the ocean.
Not even a little bit.
That's
what we used. So we used to, I grew up they had the 17-foot. It was a company called Cobia, and then there was Boston Whaler. We had Boston Whaler's 21, 22-foot, and that's as big as we got. Because, it's a money trap. You talk about on land, your home being a money trap. Those things just hoover up money.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, speaking of hoovering up money, yeah, Bezos is having built a $500 million yacht. Steven Spielberg has apparently got one on order that's in the $130 million range or something ridiculous
Jesus
like that.
Christ.
So yeah, it's
wild. So compare that. Tom Brady just ordered a $6 million yacht.
Really,
Tom Brady? Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, and that's.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's more our speed. Yeah. 5, 6, 7 million.
All right. Anyhow, it's a peek into that world. We're going to take a break. We will be back in a second. Stay with us.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
The Bizarre File is brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Takes great satisfaction in getting that perfect meat slice, but they do it for fun. They do it for fresh because slice to order makes a sub above.
A woman has been mauled to death by a pet crocodile in its enclosure on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi.
A pet crocodile? I wouldn't figure that.
Sulawesi. DZ Tuwo is her name. Had reportedly been feeding the crocodile at the Pearl Farm where she worked and where the animal was being kept illegally. The crocodile named Mary is thought to have bitten off her arm and most of her abdomen. It has been relocated to a conservation site while authorities look for its owner.
Bad crocodile.
Some reports say that the crocodile dragged her into the enclosure, but local conservation agency officials believe that she fell in. Her colleagues discovered her body the next morning.
Oh.
Officials had tried to visit the facility several times in the past to remove the crocodile, but had not been allowed in. Authorities believe that Miss Tuo's body parts may still be inside the 4.4-meter-long crocodile. So this thing's over 13 feet long.
Well, looking at the enclosure there, they made a huge mistake. You've got to have a scratching post.
Police are now trying to track down a Japanese national who owns both the farm and the crocodile, but they have not been able to locate him as of yet.
There are people that did you see? I sent you a story, Preston, about the amount of crocodiles and I think alligators in central PA and western PA.
In this area.
Yeah, because one of the few states that allows you to keep them as pets.
Yeah, which, and then they get them and then they don't realize.
I don't want this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they let them go.
Yeah.
So. Police recovered meth, a gun, a stolen ATV, a stolen horse trailer, and a dead bald eagle after serving two search warrants simultaneously on two homes in Anderson, Missouri. James Kivett was arrested on warrants. Charges are pending for the items located at his home. Approximately 58 grams of methamphetamines were located inside both houses that they checked.
Mm-hmm.
And a Missouri conservation agent took possession of the dead bald eagle. And there's no word why they had a dead bald eagle.
He had it taped to his shoulder.
Oh, he did. Yeah. It's like
a makeshift. Help but notice that it's alive.
Michael Glenn Barnes doesn't play for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's not in the rock band 3 Days Grace either. But he admits that he tricked companies into sending him more than $18,000 in free guitars, baseball gloves, and other equipment by pretending to play for three different baseball teams and pretending to be in a handful of major musical acts.
That's the coolest story in the world if we had a player on the Phillies who was also in 3 Days Grace.
Now he faces decades in prison after pleading guilty to 41 federal charges in Easton. Man. I read all the charges. It was like 6 pages long. This guy has been duping tons of people.
But they're not going to be able to send him to prison, Preston, because he's a Supreme Court justice.
The 37-year-old from Gun Barrel City, Texas, made cell phone calls and sent out emails, text messages, and letters to perpetrate his scam between May of 2015 and September 2017. Federal authorities got hot onto his trail, Casey, after Martin Guitar and Company reported his attempt to swindle free guitars from them.
Ooh.
Yeah. Barnes admitted that he posed as members of the Phillies, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Texas Ranger baseball teams. He also admitted he posed as members of the bands 3 Days Grace, Drowning Pool, Red, Of Mice and Men, Memphis May Fire, and the Eli Young Band. So he wasn't aiming too high.
You know what he's doing also? He tipped his hand by spelling Phillies with an F.
Should have known. He admitted to a federal agent that he sold the items that he received at a pawn shop, and he said, I wish I could pay them back, but he can't. He faces 20 years.
20 years.
For 29 counts of wire fraud and 8 counts of mail fraud. He faces 2 years for each of 4 counts of aggravated identity theft. As part of the plea deal, prosecutors recommended the judge waive the mandatory 2-year sentence for each aggravated identity theft charge and recommend that he be allowed to serve 2 years concurrently on each charge. Barnes faces up to 748 years in prison.
A good lawyer can knock that down to 500.
Under the deal, he'll be sentenced on May 10th. It'll be a lot less than that, but it's just he's done it so many times, and there's a charge for each time.
Looking at his mugshot, my guess is that money was going to drugs.
Maybe. A Russian man begged a judge to let his girlfriend go free after she had stabbed him 13 times, almost killing him. He wanted her to be released so that they could get married.
Aww.
Listen.
And he proposed to her in court at her sentencing.
I know that you stabbed me multiple times, but I would love for you to be wife. I think we can begin life with just the asterisks. No more stabbing.
At the time of the attack, the man named Shakur managed to escape his attacker. As she faced the judge to be sentenced, Shakur apparently proposed to the woman and begged the judge for leniency so that they could arrange their marriage.
In her defense, Honor, I said I would pick up milk on the way home. I forgot.
The judge reportedly postponed the sentencing, so I don't know if he's taking that into consideration or not.
You can't fight love.
Yeah. As they searched for a shooting suspect, deputies found 18 marijuana plants and drug paraphernalia in the home of a central Iowa mayor. Now, listen to all of these things that come together and make this the story.
So this is the home of a mayor?
Yeah, in the bizarre file. So number one, you got a mayor who's being busted for this.
Okay. Spot.
Okay, so LaDonna Kennedy, the mayor of Jamaica, Iowa, and her husband, Randy Kennedy, were charged with drug offenses, including manufacture with intent to deliver. They were busted at 4:20 p.m. In Jamaica, Iowa.
Yeah. What were they listening to? Bob Marley.
I hope so. They were in search of 18-year-old Rodney Halterman, whom police suspects shot a woman in the chest on Saturday. Halterman was charged with attempted murder. He was not found at the residence. But deputies smelled an overwhelming odor of raw marijuana coming from the home as they stood outside knocking on the door because of the smell.
Irie.
They requested a search warrant, and as they waited for the warrant, law enforcement surrounded the house before the warrant was signed. Randy Kennedy came outside and was detained. As deputy went inside with Kennedy to grab his coat, he admitted 9 plants were in the basement. Once the warrant was signed, officials found 18 marijuana plants in various states of growth, and apparently the mayor was involved the mayor of Jamaica.
When's his next reelection bid?
I'm not really sure. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file for now. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay warm, too, folks.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Well, check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on MMR's mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Hollywood Trash is brought to you by A.D. Moyer Lumber. Trusted experts since 1939, A.D. Moyer Lumber is your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. Visit them on the web at admoyer.com.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, 83-year-old Jane Fonda telling Harper's Bazaar that she is no longer looking for a sexual relationship. Fonda says that these days she has an orgasm if someone cuts her steak.
Oh, my God.
Bachelor star Matt James has officially reactivated his Instagram account but has deleted all of the Bachelor posts from the page. Matt says the Bachelor gave women the impression that he was something he was not. Interesting.
Yeah.
And finally, Kris Jenner says she once had sex with Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, while a then 10-year-old Khloe Kardashian was under the bed. Kris says the only reason they found out she was under there was because of the legs of the bed weren't touching the floor. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. Oscar winner Kate Winslet and Priyanka Chopra Jonas have joined HBO Max's A World of Calm as narrators, and they join previously announced Mahershala Ali, Idris Elba, Oscar Isaac, Nicole Kidman, Zoe Kravitz, Lucy Liu, Cillian Murphy, and Keanu Reeves.
It's about the invention of the crock pot or whatever.
Additionally, HBO Max has set October 1st for the premiere of the 10-episode unscripted series from the creators of the Calm app and Newtopia.
Oh, so these apps are huge.
So the series combines mesmeric imagery with narration by A-list stars, a timely antidote for our modern lives. This is how it's described. A timely antidote for our modern lives. Each half-hour episode takes audiences on an immersive visual journey into another world, building on Calm's sleep stories, bedtime stories for grown-ups. Each relaxing tale is designed to transform how you feel. Viewers will be transported into tranquility through scientifically engineered narratives, enchanting music, and astounding footage to naturally calm the body and soothe the mind.
Is it meditation?
It sounds
that's
like
all
it.
That
Oompa.
Is.
Oompa. The Calm app is awesome. I've used the Calm app many times.
I was wondering.
It really works.
A lot of people use it. You find it's very productive?
Terrific. Yeah, it's just, listen, there's so much distraction and so much going on, to get out of your head a little bit.
By the way, we have a listener who does guided meditation. He's a professor out in Idaho State University. His name's Kurt Anderson.
Yeah.
And he provided me with like a little 5-minute little jobby that he did, and it's great. But Press,
that's your mantra.
That's your mantra.
As you were reading that story, you kind of went into that soothing mode.
Right.
I think you could do guided meditation.
I could do it. If I had a script, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Just,
you're not going to riff. Improv.
No. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
Should probably go to sleep. It's probably a good time to go to sleep.
There's a commercial that airs on some of the news channels, and it's for the guy goes, it's time to get into bed and get cozy as we read you an adult bedtime story. They're reading passages from the Bible, but the guy so oversells that it's almost annoying.
Okay. I forgot.
Get all cozy and pull the sheets up.
Yeah. I forgot the name of the app that I used to use. It wasn't working for me anymore, so I got rid of it, but it was a mindful meditation.
It wasn't Calm?
No, it wasn't Calm. It was something else. But I get the Calm short.
Headspace?
I think they're...
Mindhead. No, I have it, Preston, because you're right. It is called... Yeah, it's Headspace.
Okay.
There's also another one called Waking Up that I like.
But is Calm guided, or is it just soothing sounds? And Nick, is there a narrator?
I don't remember. I might have been thinking about Headspace because I've seen the commercials for Calm and confused the two.
Yeah, because I had seen those as well, and I was curious if it was the same thing.
Check under head and see what comes up.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Hang on. Actually, I'm going to use Bing.
Take your filters off.
I'm going to use Bing for that one.
And, Bing will get you video.
I'm tired.
I liked Headspace until they asked you for money, and then I was like, I don't want to pay for this.
If anybody does know, I'd use the Calm app. Give us a call, because I am curious as to whether it's narration or is it just, calming effects. And
to sleep now.
Soothing sounds.
Which one do you prefer? Or do you not care?
I think... I
drums.
Sounds of drums. Well, Kath, when I was doing the Headspace thing, I did try to... it's hard to focus, and I think it takes practice.
Yeah.
To keep from being distracted, because my mind wanders. And Steve, with you and ADHD, your mind would be bouncing all over the place.
And that's the case. So I use Dr. Rosenberg did a meditation for me. It's 20 minutes where he just talks to me, and I play that. It's an audio file that I have, and I will go for about 21 minutes, it goes... That will put me in a restful state, and that's the only thing that works. It's almost constant feedback, Preston, as opposed to anything that lets my mind wander.
Yes.
I'm listening to someone talk to me.
But it's supposed to train you able to do that on your own.
Yep, and that's why I asked, because
it takes time.
I did one, it was called Insight Timer, and basically it was like 5 or 7 days, and it teaches you. So you go through it each day with this person, who's speaking with you, and then you can do on your own guided, or you can just do the sounds. But a lot of what she was saying during those 7 days, I use if I meditate to not allow my mind to wander. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I think back. No, not it.
Oh, Kathy, you're relaxed.
But the Headspace app. The person that was guiding it had a very thick Australian accent. And say, sit down, find a chair.
I couldn't do that.
Relax.
It's time to get all relaxed.
Yeah, and I was like, I was a little distracted by that just because I'm not used to.
I think a nice.
Yeah, you're comfy cozy.
Thick German accent would probably
get
be it.
To bed now! Put your head on the pillow! Time to go to sleep! Are you crazy? You've got to get up in the morning! Get a nice, restful sleep. Pull up the covers and get cozy! No! Are you asleep yet? I swear to God, I will kill you.
Hang on, let me go to Brittany real quick. Hey, Brittany, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Hey, Brittany, do you use the Calm app?
I do use the Calm app. It has music, and it also has guided meditation, so it's whatever you're in the mood for.
So it's possible, Nick, you were using it, you were just not using some of the guided meditation parts of it.
Yeah, I use the sleep music a lot, And then sometimes, like, when I'm working and I can't focus, I'll put it on, like, on low.
And you find it effective, Brittany? So the same thing that can be used to help you fall asleep can help you stay sort of focused while you're working?
Yes.
Wow,
but
okay.
I use different music for
that. All right.
So for sleep, I use one music that I really like that helps. And then for focus, I use like completely different sounds, like nature sounds.
All right. I might check it out.
Me too. Is there a subscription?
She says it's free.
Oh, you just said it's free.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, I can't even focus on what you're talking about right now.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All
right.
I had a question for you.
Oh, you call me yet?
I had a question for you, Preston, about your drum kit, because I know that you have a whole bunch of different settings for sounds. And can you make, like, ethereal music?
Sure.
So you maybe could even create your own relaxation bed. Mm-hmm. I think you should do it, and I think we should...
What do you do during the day?
Well, I think it would be something that could be kind of a cool download on our website is, you know, guided meditation by Preston Elliott or, you know, by Steve Morrison or by Nell, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's time to go tie-tie.
Time to go tie-tie.
All right, hang on a second. Here's a...
Not near clear.
That
weird dab burp.
All comes back to Nell, man.
That's a good call, Keith.
That would be a great one.
That could just be the name of the app.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now. So tight, very tight.
Now stop playing with the microphone.
Stop it. Microphone. Give me that goddamn thing. Give me that.
She's in the middle of a session, sir. Please don't bother her. This says, Calm has almost everything. It's fully guided, less guided, no guidance. They have music, stories.
There's nothing. You're just paying for nothing.
And nature soundtrack. No, so you get to choose one level. In fact, Marissa got an excerpt. Here we go.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Quality's not very good, but...
Is this just music, Marissa?
Okay, so this is the type of music.
Lovely lady.
All right.
I think this, so a basic sort of, not, I don't want to say a monotonous sound, but a...
kind of drone-ish.
Right, a drone.
Yeah, not too distracting.
Right.
Easy, slow
movements. What is your environmental sound of choice? Yeah, I know you put on a sleep machine.
Yeah, it's, like a fan.
A fan?
Yeah.
You do have a fan on in the room, though, don't you?
I used to, not anymore.
Okay. Preston, big fan. I love you so much, man. I've been listening for 20 years.
Your bed ducks me. It's a fan.
Fan of
Preston. It just sits there. Yeah. It's Gary Lauer. I wanted to do an OnlyFans page, and it's just the fans in my house.
Mm-hmm. What is this?
It's another guided meditation.
All right, here we go. This would relax me. This one. Here we go.
Wow, that's good.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know when this show is coming out, but it is called HBO Max is A World of Calm.
It's coming out in Shocktober, Preston.
That's when it's coming out?
Yep.
Okay.
Interesting. I might check into that.
Yeah, me too. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.